Hey everyone, welcome to Connectivity 198. I'm your host Nicholas Bray, and today I'm joined by Zach Miller.
198? Good God.
Becky Holiday.
Hi. I don't have anything interesting to say.
Sorry?
I don't have anything interesting to say like Adam always does, so you always have to take him last.
Yeah, Adam, what are you going to say?
I can't believe that I'm on a podcast with Zachary Miller. Like, I'm freaking out. But I gotta calm down. I'm a Pokemon master. I'm an adult. I can handle talking to strangers.
You're an adult?
On the internet, yeah.
Are we adults? I didn't think we were.
Oh, I might be a 14-year-old girl, Adam. You just never know. I could be using a voice synthesizer or something.
And I know really I've seen on Twitter your collection of 14-year-old girl dolls.
Amen. I mean, I think they're all legal.
Uh-huh.
They're all 2,000 years old, Zach. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, in Japan, it's different over there.
Yeah. Well, you're close to Japan, aren't you? You can swim there?
Yeah, I'm sure you could. It would take a while. And that water is cold.
Inadvisable, but...
Inadvisable, yeah. Filled with sharks.
Okay, before we get too far off track... Today we're going to be discussing Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow to celebrate the 20th anniversary of those games. But as always, we'll jump into just a bit about what we've been playing or doing. And so, Zach, we'll jump to you first because you haven't been on for a while.
It's true. I have recently picked up the original Turok Dinosaur Hunter on Steam. It was remastered. It's in HD now, which doesn't mean much for an N64 game. But it runs at 60 frames a second, and it supports my wired 360 controller. And I have a lot of Steam games, but it's the only one that I've kind of played in earnest, made time to play. And it's really good, guys. Turok is great. I'm especially impressed by the level design. The level design is brilliant. There are so many things to explore in every stage or every level. And, you know, it all kind of looks very samey. If you remember Turok, everything's kind of in a cliffs and a jungle and canyons and everything. I mean, we're being honest here. The game doesn't look fantastic, but they made up for that with just brilliant level design and really clever weapons for
the
time.
Is that game about dinosaurs?
It has dinosaurs in it. It's called Turok Dinosaur Hunter, but so far I've only encountered one dinosaur, and that's raptors, and they look awful. They have horns on their heads, which is bizarre.
Oh, that's interesting.
No, they're not very realistic then?
They're not at all. Not even for 1996 when this came. Wasn't this a launch game for the N64?
I have no idea. It might have been the first year, maybe.
I think it was. I remember Nintendo Power going on and on about it being the first twin stick shooter, which might be true. Because you controlled him with both the analog stick and the C buttons. The C buttons were your move forward, back, left, and right.
Yeah.
And the stick was for aiming. So, I mean, it's possible this was the first twin-stick shooter, or faux twin-stick shooter. But it certainly works better with two actual analog sticks. It's great. It's a great game, and the music is great, and there's all these cool ambient sounds of monkeys and birds and dinosaurs roaring in the background, which you never see.
So did they increase the draw distance at all?
You mean the fog? Did they get rid of the fog?
Yeah, the fog, yeah.
The fog is still there. It's not as bad as it used to be.
Okay.
It's still not great. Especially...
Probably only so much they can do if it's sort of like the same,
same engine,
tidied up a bit. But,
I think it looks significantly better, and it's, than the N64 game just because it's HD, and I found that the very first boss in the game is impossible. I'm not sure how anyone beat him on the N64. But I went through like five lives, and what's nice is that, you know, if you die, you just respawn immediately in a boss stage, and his health hasn't gone back up.
Yeah.
Thank God, because he just runs around. He's like almost like those old NES bosses that didn't really have a pattern. They just ran at you and shot you, and you died. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like that with a 3D shooter. So it blows, but it's doable. And there have been a few times where I've actually thought about restarting the entire game because I haven't been real smart about my saves. When I save, I just overwrite. I don't do a new save.
Yep.
So there's been quite a few items I've just kind of said, oh, I'll get that later, and I never did, and then I overwrote my save file. So I'm not that far in the game, I'm only in the third level, so I could restart the game entirely, but each level is like an hour long. Huh. It's super long. But it's really good, and if you have any nostalgia for Turok 1, it's worth picking up on Steam. It was on sale just when I got it last week for, I think, $12.
Hmm.
So, okay. You know, might be worth a shot. And I know that same team is going to, or they're currently remastering Turok 2, which is a better game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but almost a different game. But, yeah, it's fun. I very much enjoy it, and it's a good trip down nostalgia lane. And it's nice to see a game hold up to nostalgia, unlike some other games we'll be talking about today.
Oh. Jeez. Spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry.
Becky, so what about you?
Well, obviously you've been playing some Pokemon. I haven't had a whole lot of time for video games in the past couple of weeks, unfortunately. I have a convention I'm going to next month, so I've been trying to do stuff for that. But aside from Pokemon, I played a little bit of Final Fantasy Explorers when that came out. Cause been kind of on an RPG kick lately, prepping for Fire Emblem.
No Project Cross Zone 2?
No. I only have time for like one thing at a time. Come on.
Save yourself. Don't buy that game.
All right. Good to know. Good to know that I chose
fun.
Better.
You'll just hate it. You'll quickly hate
it. Okay. Those games are fun though. Kind of when you just want to throw your DS at a wall or throw your controller at a wall.
Right.
But yeah, no. Final Fantasy Explorers is interesting. Start picking up. I haven't played a whole lot of it. Because it's got a pretty really slow difficulty curve to start with until you start getting to the primals in that game. Like Ifrit and Shiva and Ramu and all of them. Those start being a little bit harder, but like at first it's kind of just grindy. Picked up the controls pretty fast because I've been playing so much Final Fantasy XIV, as all of the podcast listeners know, because that's pretty much my answer every week. The controls are fairly similar, so they were easy for me to pick up because it was just like, oh yeah, I do this on a PlayStation. Hold my L button, hold my R button. I do. That's how I play on the PlayStation with 14. It's almost the exact same controls. I know a bunch of my friends are getting super nostalgic about all the classes they chose to put in. Like, one of my friends right now is grinding for Red Mage, because you have to have, like, a certain set of spells from your White Mage, Time Mage, and Black Mage in order to unlock Red Mage. And she's like, I hate this, but I really, just really want Red Mage, guys. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good playing just Dragoon for right now.
Grinding for Red Mage sounds like a metal band or something.
It really, actually kind of does.
Yeah,
like a Final Fantasy metal band to the covers. Yeah. I would go see them.
And it's the co-op's kind of nice. That's actually been kind of fun because so many of my friends have it. It's kind of been easier once things started to get a little bit harder to be like, okay, I need help now, guys. Please.
Yeah, it's got online play, doesn't
yeah.
it? Like Monster
yeah.
Hunter.
Uh huh.
Nice.
Exactly, and it's like. I don't believe it's region locked. I'm not 100. I don't think so. One of my friends has it in the UK, but we haven't gotten to play together yet. So, or haven't even attempted to, but I believe it's not region locked because again. I know a bunch of my friends were getting it right around launch time, and several of them were like, well, I want other people to play with. I don't have a whole lot of friends, you know, in Australia or the UK to play. So, this isn't region locked, is it? And I was like, good question. But, but yeah, no, that's been pretty fun so far. So I feel like that's worth picking up, honestly. I feel like it was almost a lot more popular than I thought it was going to be. People were kind of like, yeah, that sounds interesting. And then one of my friends was like, yeah, I had to get it reserved somewhere because all the GameStops within like 50 miles were sold out. And I was like, what?
Damn. Hmm.
Yeah, wow. I mean, I live in the middle of nowhere, so they probably only stocked like two. But their version of sold out is selling like five copies. But
yeah,
could be true. I don't know. But yeah. So that's pretty much what I've been doing: costuming and Final Fantasy and Pokemon. So
nice.
So what are you working on? A cosplay? Are you?
Yeah, I'm a cosplayer. In case you didn't guess.
What are you going to be cosplaying?
Rey from Star Wars.
Nice.
Yeah.
You and about another 2,000
50 million people girls. Well, it helps that I'm a natural.
Rey is the new Slave Leia.
Well, yeah. It helps that I'm a natural brunette. So I don't have to try and get a wig for her hair, because that would be a bitch to try and stick in a wig.
Yeah.
So I actually put a picture on my Twitter, like, I want to say like 3 weeks ago, when I spent 2 hours trying to do her hairstyle in my own hair. I'm not very good at it, but I'm getting better.
Cool.
Someone else who likes to cosplay, Adam.
I've actually been working on my Rey cosplay.
As Pikachu?
Oh my god, and it's going to look awesome, no. I'm sure.
Oh, it's
Pikachu
gonna be
as
great.
Rey, maybe?
Exactly, yeah. With the
Pika Rey.
With Pooh Bear ears. Possibly the worst thing that could possibly happen to me at this time in my life happened. Because, I mean, there are worse things that could happen to me, like physically and stuff, but people would be understanding. But no one is understanding of this thing. So I went to my sister's engagement party and all her friends were there. Her fiance has a bunch of bros and they like play D&D together and are nerdy. And I was talking to one of them about Pokemon Go. And some of the other ones were like, oh, I'm not excited for that. It looks lame. It looks stupid. And I was like, have you guys played Ingress? And they were like, no, what's that? And I was like, that's the first game from that company. And it was at, the party was at my dad's work. And a long, long time ago, I made that a portal in Ingress. So I pulled up Ingress on my phone and I was showing them how to play the game. And it worked. It didn't used to work on my phone. Like, it worked on my old phone, but not on my current phone. But then I rooted my phone, like, did nerd stuff to it, and now all of a sudden Ingress works on it. So, I've been playing Ingress a lot, like a bad amount. The building that 5 of my 6 classes are in is eternally owned by the other team. Even if I take it down, like, I can't get it to stay on my team. And I found out why. It's because one of the teachers at the school plays. And she goes out and takes all my stuff down. So next semester, I'm going to find out what her name is. And I'm going to take her class. And I'm going to sit in her class. And I'm going to fire off weapons. And blow up all her stupid portals.
During class.
So that
wow.
During class, there's nothing she can
even
do
if
about
it's,
it.
Even if it's the most irrelevant class to your course of study, you're going to take it.
Oh, I don't even care. Even if
he's
it's
just gonna death stare at the whole class.
Like, intro to topology.
No, it's some sort of art class. It's the art and sciences hall. So hopefully it's like writing related and it's not like drawing related, because it would
I feel
be hard.
Like
to...
You just said art and sciences hall. Those are diametrically opposed things in one.
Yeah,
room.
That's such a weird thing to have in the same building.
But then there's another building called the Science Center that's way newer, and that's where the science is, like math and physics and stuff. But then the Arts and Sciences Hall is like, I don't know, like the science of art or something. Like, that's where I take all my writing classes and like speech class. And
like
stuff
liberal,
so it's like,
arts,
yeah, it's more like
studies.
Humanities. Yeah, humanities kind of stuff.
I mean, the campus has grown a lot, but they didn't change the name of anything.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Good job, guys.
Great. But I ended up like finding people that I used to play with like 2 years ago, and they're like, oh man, so much has changed, and a lot has changed, like little things. They doubled the level cap, so I have a lot of work to do.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the university for a second. Like, so much has changed just at the university.
So much has changed. No, the university is the same. I've been going there for 10 years, and it's the exact same. But the game, the phone game, has changed a lot. It's very bad for me to get back into it because it is a time sink. You can spend an unlimited amount of time on it. They introduced, monetization options where you can, like, buy little items. I don't really know what they do, but apparently they do good things or else you wouldn't want to spend money on them. I don't know. I really don't want to get back into Ingress.
You need to hold off until Pokemon Go comes out, at least.
I know, that was the plan.
I thought that Super Bowl commercial was going to be a Pokemon Go ad because of those Pokemon in, like, this football stadium or whatever it is.
Right.
Actually, yeah. We could talk about that commercial for a bit. Because I get the sort of, like, the angle they went with it. It was more about just sort of about saying, oh, Pokemon's 20. But, mm-hmm. I don't know, it could have been a bit better. It could have been showed the passage of time maybe a bit better. I mean, it was just a whole bunch of kids sort of being inspired by things. I don't know.
But
yeah. I think it was an interesting dynamic.
It showed a Pikachu cheering for the Super Bowl in a person's living room. And there was a little kid, one of my friend's kids, who's like, I don't know, I think he's 6. He was watching it and he was like, why is the Pikachu in their living room? So I thought, well, that ad just failed.
Yeah, it showed all these, like, inspirational things. Like, you can go do great things. And then the dad at the end, they're watching Pokemon, and the dad leans over to the kid and he's like, you can be a worthless piece of shit that just plays Pokemon all day. You can do that. And I don't know.
You can be the best there ever was at Pokemon.
At Pokemon. You can get, like, a small part of your college paid for if you're really good at Pokemon.
Pokemon eSport.
To me, they didn't really lean on nostalgia at all, really.
No.
Like, it should have been sort of marketed more towards, you know, people our age, I guess, in a way, like, make people go, oh, damn, yeah, Pokemon. Forgot about that. It's 20 years old now.
It should have been an ad for Red and Blue coming out.
Yeah, that would have been really cool to see like the old ads for Red and Blue and then maybe an ad for the newer Pokemon games. I don't know.
No, who cares about the new Pokemon games? It should have just been the old ad from the 90s.
Yeah, and then remind you that it's 20 years old.
See, I think it would have been, like, almost cool
now
if they had
on 3DS.
Yeah, I think it would have been cool if they'd done something almost like the anime did and take the classic opening that everybody knows and then, like, made it and expanded it into something super awesome.
That's what I expected. That, like, was the first thing I thought of when I thought, oh, they're doing an ad. They're obviously going to start with that classic opening.
Yeah. But I mean, I thought the whole commercial went in kind of an interesting direction, trying to be like, okay, this is kind of how... I almost felt like it was sort of like, okay, yeah, you can do great things, but it's also like you can parallel real life to, you know, playing Pokemon like real people play Pokemon, if you know what I mean. Like, instead of just like,
people,
oh yeah, it's not a bunch of nerds
Pokemon
who live in their basements
now playing Pokemon with their kids.
That, you know, that it kind of almost does translate to real life, that video games actually have, you know, bearing on what you do. So that was kind of one thing I took from it. But I did feel like that it was kind of a little bit, it kind of ended a little anticlimactically, because it was like, where it was like, oh, you got all these people do these great things, and it lines up with the way you think about playing Pokemon, that you're constantly training to be better and better. And then it was like, yeah, you can be awesome at all these things. And it was like, and you can play Pokemon. Like, yeah, I totally agree that was just the weirdest kind of way to end it. Like, I thought it was cool that they had that whole, like, train on thing at the end. But I feel like it would almost been better if they had kind of peppered in the Pokemon things with everything else instead of ending it on that note. Because it was just like, what? Okay.
Yeah, considering this was like a big sort of mainstream ad, it should have probably leveraged being more like, I don't know, less abstract than it was.
Yeah, I know firsthand the dangers of very expensive Super Bowl ads. I worked at Radio Shack for a really long time, and then they had this giant Super Bowl ad, and then they went out of business.
Ouch.
And I would still have a job if they hadn't spent all that money on that damn Super Bowl ad.
Was the ad good, at least?
It was really good, but it was about remodeling the stores, and then they didn't remodel the stores.
Oh. Yeah. So people were like, what?
Yeah. They remodeled, like, four stores.
But maybe they should have spent 4, that money on remodeling the stores. Instead of making
right. Exactly. And stop sucking as a company, and then maybe people would actually have bought stuff at their stores.
But there is one last thing that I did this week. I looked through every single box and crevice for the damn Detective Barbie game. I couldn't find it anywhere. I was so confused. And eventually I found it after like days of searching. I tore my whole apartment apart and it won't run on my computer. I'm so sad. And I didn't find Detective Barbie 2.
With all the computer games.
I'm so sad.
I have the original two Croc games, Croc Legend of the Gobos, and the sequel, just Croc 2. I don't know what the subtitle is. But I have those on CD, and they just won't run on this new computer. They just, no, just won't happen. You can play them, but the colors are all weird. Oh. And it looks like it's running on DOS or something, but... I miss those games. I wish somebody would put them on Steam. Maybe somebody has, and I haven't looked because those games really aren't that great, but I want to play them again.
If you go to PS3, I'm pretty sure they're on PSN.
What? Oh my god. Yes. This is happening.
Oh, I do have the Pokemon Red and Blue photo editors from like Windows 95. I should see if those will run.
Forgot about those.
Totally do all my photo editing too. In it.
Okay, so what I was doing this week, or part of it, I actually put in the Wind Waker HD for the first time in probably like 2 years.
When
did it come out? 2 years ago?
2 years ago, yeah.
And I was inside the second dungeon, the Forest Haven one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I finished that temple, and... yeah, the graphics do look really nice.
Oh my gosh.
Especially that boss is really colorful as well.
Yeah.
Everything's just so clean, sharp. It's like, oh, yeah. I need to like play more of it because I'm buying Twilight Princess HD when that comes out. So I was like, I should probably like play a bit more of the last HD re-release.
Yeah.
I'm really on the fence about Twilight Princess.
Yeah, I hate Twilight Princess.
We know.
Toilet paper.
Well, you know, I think I hate it, but I don't remember that much of it.
Exactly.
Like I came away from that game with just a lot of feelings that I don't know if I want to reacquaint myself with. But on the other hand, I remember it being a pretty serviceable Zelda game.
It's like a bit of a mishmash. Like, it never felt 100% together to me at the time. I think like it had all the elements to make a great Zelda game, but it just didn't stick. All the like the separate elements didn't stick 100% together.
Yeah,
to me.
Yeah.
Like I sort of like the game was sort of linear in a way, at least like earlier on. Like it took a long time for like the world to open up.
Yeah.
A bit more. Like you had to sort of. You were sort of driven down the story and the different like dungeons for a while into the game, so you couldn't just sort of go off the beaten path and look around and stuff. I mean, if you compare that to like Ocarina of Time, when you get out into a Hyrule Field, there are like you can sort of try and like do other things, even though it is a little bit blocked off. Like you can sort of explore around the field or you know whatever, but.
Right.
Twilight Princess seemed a little... It's hard to explain, but I think it was a little... Felt a little more restrictive, even if maybe it wasn't... It wasn't really...
I also seem to recall that in, you know, in Ocarina of Time, Hyrule Field is just one area. Mm. And everything you know, everywhere you go is an area after that, its own area. But I remember in Twilight Princess, and maybe I'm remembering it wrong, weren't there like four components to Hyrule Field? There was like an east, west, north, and south.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And they're all connected by these skinny little,
Little
pathways.
Yeah. Like alleys.
Yeah.
And, and I remember thinking, God, there's just so much and there's nothing in here.
See, yeah. I don't mind being like just open space and stuff, but, the thing that I was let down by with Twilight Princess is that it was trying to be like some sort of like future version of Ocarina of Time, but I thought the landmarks and the world didn't look good. Like it didn't try and like adapt the Ocarina of Time landmass and like make it nostalgic.
Right.
It just sort of said, oh yeah, this is meant to be the same Hyrule, but like, you know,
yeah,
hundreds of years in the
future. The map never really stuck with me the same way a lot of the other games have, really, in terms of the fact that it just kind of felt very, you know, it felt like going from dungeon and dungeon instead of actually taking any time in the world. It literally was just like, okay, I'm passing through and I'm never really spending any time in any one place.
Yeah. Usually when I finished a dungeon, I would just sort of like say, okay, I'm going to do something else for a while, and I'll try and mill around for like 5 minutes and I'll be like, all right, where's the next dungeon?
Definitely.
That's what it felt like. It didn't really feel like really trying to do anything else a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Link's Crossbow Training, that's a good game.
We need an HD remaster of that.
Heck yeah.
I have not played it. I kind of want to. 10
years old next year. 10th anniversary.
Oh my God, you're right. Oh my God.
It's pretty fun. I got it the Christmas it came out. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it actually kind of looked like a fun game if you like kind of light gun shooters, which I do.
Wait, have you never played it?
What?
The Crossbow Training?
No, I never have.
I haven't either, actually, to be honest.
Oh my God, you guys got to come over and play some Crossbow Training.
All right, I'll come over after work tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah,
me too.
How long of a flight is that?
It's worth it. Oh, no, wait, don't come over. My TV is broken.
Oh, okay, well, all right. You just saved me a trip.
Alrighty, before we break this segment and go into the Pokemon discussion, we've got a listener mail. So, Adam, do you want to start us off with some of these predictions from Adolf Vega?
Sure. So, the Nintendo NX will be given a solid 2016 release date, but ultimately won't launch until 2017. This news will be a massive embarrassment for the company, and the president of Nintendo, Kimishima. Yeah, it's kind of run together. Will resign in shame because of this public relations disaster.
Well, none of that will happen.
No.
Yeah. Actually, some of it could. They could delay it. I can see the delay happening. Kimishima's not resigning.
It's going to be fiscal year 2016.
Right.
So, sometime before April.
Yeah.
Technically,
I think that it's coming out like November, December this year, but then sometimes like a bit of news will pop up and I was like, oh, actually, you know, maybe not. Maybe
totally
they're
going to
ride the Wii U a bit longer.
Yeah.
The 3DS.
No, I think there's going to be two of them, and we're going to get the handheld this Christmas, and then the console, like, later.
I can see that, yeah.
Maybe.
Because the 3DS is really old. The new 3DS turned, like, a year old this week, and I realized, wait a second, I have a different 3DS than I used to have. Like, I didn't notice until the anniversary came up.
Yeah, no, me neither. It's not like I'm playing all these brand new 3DS games they're using to support the system.
Now, I like that it's faster, but I actually hate the new 3D because you can't just look right at it. Like, it looks for your eyes, and I usually lay like on my side, and I have a beard and glasses, so like it messes up way more often than the old one did. Like, the old one was predictable, but this one,
you know, you can turn that off.
Really? You can turn off the eye tracking?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And it just makes it like the old one.
I might have to do that then.
His whole world has changed.
Oh, I haven't played 3DS in so long. Now I can finally go back.
Alright, so what was the next prediction on the list?
Most mobile games made by Nintendo will also release on the Nintendo 3DS, many of which will be really dumb and cater to Japanese gamers and be considered strange or odd to everyone else.
I think that's a yes.
Definite yes.
I don't think it's likely that they're going to put the mobile games on 3DS.
I don't think so either. I think they're pushing for the mobile
platform.
I pray
that once they get their mobile platform going, they'll stop putting mobile crap on 3DS.
Yeah, right. If only.
I don't even understand what Miitomo is still, so who knows.
It's, right? Yeah, it's kind of
dumb, and it caters to Japanese gamers. That's what it is.
It's something. So it's got me's in it. There we go.
It does.
That's about all I got.
Yeah, I guess it's like Tamagotchi Life Facebook. That's like kind of what it's being pitched as.
Yeah.
Which sounds fun, I guess. You can buy clothes.
Yay! Let's go back and play Tamagotchi Life. It's more fun.
And I never played that game.
It's cute. I still check in on it once in a while out of guilt.
Yeah, they kind of look at me and go, "You've been gone for so long," and I'm like, "Yeah, just hide my face in shame."
Yeah, every time that's the same way with New Leaf. Every time I turn on New Leaf, and what's her face is like, "Oh, we haven't seen you in a while," and I'm like, "Yeah, I know."
Because life, guys.
My sister and I played Animal Crossing on New Year's, and they were all like, "Where the fuck have you been, man? We're dying."
I was like, "Just get to your town. It's overrun with weeds and."
Yeah.
I have that thing on so like the weeds don't get out of
here. Yeah, I did that too. Just so I wouldn't mess with it anymore.
Better than I thought it was going to.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next thing on the list is also a 3DS sort of prediction, I guess. A 3D remake of Super Mario Sunshine will release as a new 3DS exclusive and will use Splatoon Amiibo for different colored water. The game will have new attachments to Flood based on Splatoon weapons.
Well, first of all, this assumes that they're going to support the new 3DS at all, and that's proven false.
Kimishima did say that they've got unannounced Wii U and 3DS games that are higher, sort of, bigger games coming.
Oh, okay.
He might just be lying and basically hyping up some lower tier games, saying, "Oh yeah, we're still supporting 3DS.
We're trying to throw us off about release dates for the NX, being like, "Oh yeah, we got these games still coming out. You don't think our console's coming out anytime soon, right?"
Yeah, yeah. But as for a 3D remake of Super Mario Sunshine, I think if it was going to happen, it would have happened for the new 3DS already.
Yeah.
I don't see like a big sort of remake / port hitting the new 3DS this year. I mean, it has to come out this year.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know why they would re-release such an awful, awful game.
Some people
really
liked it.
It's really the Twilight Princess of the Mario series.
Oh, it is.
Which means Adam really hates it.
Just don't want it on 3DS. It might look alright in 3D, but I'd rather, if you're going to do it, put it on an HD system.
Yeah, it seems like a console type game. It feels like it would be really strange on handheld, honestly.
Like, I'm glad that Twilight Princess wasn't a handheld game, actually.
Yeah.
Because they probably could have forced it. They probably would have had to do even less. They would have had to do less to it. They could have just basically ported the GameCube or Wii version directly, almost.
Yeah.
Or, they'd have to dumb it down slightly.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, I don't really think it's super likely that Mario Sunshine will be coming back soon. Alright, so, Becky, do you want to take the next one?
Sure. Nintendo will release Amiibo for iconic Nintendo objects, such as the Master Sword in a Pedestal, Star Fox Arwing, Animal Crossing House, Super Mario Power-Ups, Metroid, Crozo Statue, Pokeball, etc. Yeah, no, I don't think that's going to be a thing.
I can see an Arwing for Star Fox.
I could see it maybe for Star Fox Zero.
Right.
Maybe have Fox in the Arwing, not just like maybe the ship by itself.
Maybe they make the first amiibo that is has articulation, so you can open the cockpit and
move. Oh my god, that'd be cool!
Or you can open it up and put your Fox amiibo in there.
Yeah, that would be like $100.
Okay, that would be really, really hard.
It's like the size of, like, I know.
The yeah, giant Yarn Yoshi.
Box or something.
You know, Miyamoto said he wanted to do an R-Wing, I think at both E3s that that they showed Star Fox. So I'm sure, you know, Miyamoto can probably get his way.
It could be possibly. It could be like one of those hover drones and like you can have him remote control and everything and fly it around.
And land it on your gamepad.
I think out of all of those, the R-Wing is definitely like the only one that seems really likely. I feel like everything else, they have much better things that they could make amiibo out of instead of being like, oh yeah, we'll just do a Pokeball. Like, who wants an amiibo of a Pokeball? Half the appeal of amiibos is
depends
that they're
if it
figurines.
Opens up and a Pokemon and you, comes out.
And you can put your Pikachu amiibo inside.
Oh my, that would be cool, but again, I think that's a little bit too much. No.
See, you have to throw it. You have to throw it, and it has to land on the gamepad.
Right. It, were they to ever make another Metroid game, I can kind of see a Chozo statue, but there's probably other amiibos they'd make of Metroid first.
It'd probably just be another Samus one.
Yeah. In a gravity suit or something.
You know, I do
different like, color variants.
Yeah.
I do think they'll do something like a Pokeball. Instead of releasing like 800 Pokemon amiibo, releasing like a Pokeball that holds your whole team on it. So you can, like, take it to other people's...
You know, like, that would be cool, actually.
I think the Pokewalker did that, where it would save a copy of your team, and then if you, like, did a mystery gift thing with someone else, then the copy of your team would get sent over to their game, and they could go fight you in, like, Viridian, I think.
You can battle against the computer playing your team.
It's possible. I just don't know that it would be super, like... high selling point. I mean, yeah, that would be kind of interesting.
Well,
but...
it would make sense if Pokemon, like a new generation of Pokemon games comes out this year and they have an amiibo to go with it.
Maybe they'll have a Mangina amiibo.
a what?
I have to say that that's the way I read it at first as well.
What? Where are you guys reading this?
Unfortunate spelling.
The new Pokemon they announced. I don't even know what its name is.
Oh, right.
Mangina now.
I saw
it
that.
I can't even pronounce it.
Mangina or something. I don't know. Like,
I don't
it looks
know.
Like
I don't
Diancie
care.
On steroids, but
it looks like an idle robot.
Yeah,
Pokemon.
It really does.
Another one of those.
It's stupid because it's not a Pokemon because it's man-made. And they said it's the first.
What about Porygon?
Yeah.
Porygon is exactly the same.
Man-made. He's not a Pokemon. He's banished. From the world.
I have to believe that Magnemite and Magneton are ultimately man-made.
No, that's just some magnets.
Okay, yeah, but like magnets don't look like that in nature.
Right.
Well, plant like flowers don't look like bell sprouts in nature.
How does Magnemite reproduce?
It doesn't. It's in the note.
It doesn't. It's genderless.
Oh, really? Is it? Oh, I didn't know that.
Gosh, you got to get on your game, man.
Dude, I don't breed Pokemon.
You don't breed Pokemon?
You don't breed Magnemite.
Pokemon I don't already have.
No, man. You gotta breed for EVs or IVs. For
that
IVs.
BS.
I actually don't know how any of that works, and I'm happy about that.
Neither do I
really
but I
don't.
Still
I don't
do
either,
it.
Actually. Like, one of my friends is super into that. He's always, like, talking specifically about natures and stuff like that. And he's like, oh, you can use these techniques to get certain natures of Pokemon so you can have, like, the ideal nature with the max EVs and stuff. And I'm like, I have a Charizard because Charizard's my favorite and it has Flamethrower because I like setting things on fire. Like, that is how I play Pokemon.
Every time I hear people talking about EVs and natures, I just imagine like this huge Big Bang Theory-esque formula that they have on a whiteboard somewhere to get them to the nature they want with the EV values they want.
I know.
Apparently it's gotten easier, but it's still kind of confusing just to sort of get into it. I before we get too far off track, I don't really like the whole way that the hidden numbers have become like a thing you sort of have to do if you want to be competitive. I liked it when Pokemon was more like no one really knew about that stuff and it was like Pokemon might be slightly different, but you know it's not like a big deal. It should be more like what Pokemon would be like in real life. So if you're raising your own Pokemon and stuff, like, you're not, like, you're obsessing over these little things.
You're just trying to catch an Abra, teach it Psychic, and then barrel through the rest of the game.
Yep.
You use Abra to catch Mew. And in the anime, AJ, the fake gym leader, early on, he had a Macho Brace on his Sandshrew. He was EV training his Pokemon before there were even items in the game. And this goes back to the beginning.
Or you could just think of weighted training gear.
Yeah, it's weighted training. I don't know if you looked at the thing I sent you, but it's a 200-page document detailing the mechanics of the original Pokemon games. This was all there from the beginning. And it's amazing. Yeah. It's so amazing. I found it when I was a kid, and it was my first introduction to competitive Pokemon training. And I'm trying to find this guy. I've gotten really close. I've searched for years. And all the handles and stuff that he's used have gone, like, dormant. But I think I found him as a prominent member on, like, a Sonic speedrunning board. And I sent him a message, I didn't get a message back. But I have to talk to this guy. He taught me everything that I know about Pokemon. It's beautiful. It's a strategy guide. It's 200 pages long. And he spends 250 words on the walkthrough. And the rest of it.
Wow.
All right. Zach, next question.
Wreck-It Ralph 2. Oh, God. Wreck-It Ralph 2 trailer will be attached to Finding Dory and have Super Mario and Link from The Legend of Zelda within the trailer.
I think it's likely Mario will be in
it. Yeah, I think Mario could be.
Maybe in, like, a more prominent role instead of a cameo.
But he won't be able to talk.
Yeah, he will.
Yeah, he's
Mario. I mean, I hope they let him talk besides just,
No, like that's how he talks.
They'll just have one of those Al Delfino people.
I hope to God there's not a Wreck-It Ralph 2.
That's already happening, Zach.
It is happening.
And it has Mario in it.
And I wish Finding Dory did not exist.
Kind of. Yeah, I'm a little bit like, it was such a good movie by itself. Like, what else do you have to go back to, honestly?
Like, out of all the characters in Finding Nemo, do you have to center a movie around Dory? I just wanted to wring her neck every time she was on screen.
I mean, I didn't super mind Dory as a character, to be 100% honest. I think Ellen DeGeneres in that role was adorable, but it's just one of those things.
I just didn't like the character.
Dory was comic relief for the most part and a grounding tool for Marlin. So you're kind of like, she really wasn't built to have her own movie.
Right.
To be 100% honest. And now you're kind of, now it feels like you're kind of stretching it thin because you're making a character that just is a character that's based on gimmicks. Have their own storyline. So it's just kind of like, how is this actually going to go?
A new Pikmin game will be announced for the new 3D. No, it's going to be on Wii U 2 or NX.
It's going to be on Wii U. It'll just get dropped like a week before E3. No one will care.
There's already a Pikmin game.
Except diehard fans.
There's already a Pikmin game for 3DS called 3DS Transfer Tool.
That's actually true.
I do find it odd that we haven't had, like, like, it was uncovered there's going to be, like, a Paper Mario game coming to Wii U, most likely. And this Pikmin 4, which I don't understand. Like, if you've got Pikmin 4, it was almost ready to go last July or whatever. Mm-hmm. Why isn't it, like, why are they holding
it? Why isn't it out? Because Wii U isn't selling. And
is it coming to mobile, or is
Pikmin
it coming to
Pikmin 3 already sold poorly.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense. Like, if it was going to be, like, a sort of, like, a stocking stuffer for the Wii U, there's no point in holding it back
for
ages to me.
Exactly. I mean, I agree. If they have Wii U games, why are they sitting on them instead of getting some money out of them?
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, next question, our next prediction was, Nintendo will make Metroid 2 Return of Samus remake for 3DS.
That would blow my mind. I would love
that. That would be kind of really awesome.
People have been asking for that for like 12 years.
Yeah. There's already a fan-made Metroid 2 Return of Samus in development. It's been in development for
About 12 years.
Yeah, about 12 years, honestly. I checked back every once in a while.
Ages ago, yeah.
But Nintendo never let it out in the wild, of course. But that game deserves a Zero Mission-esque remake. Because it's actually a really good game, and if it had a map, it would be awesome.
And they could give it, like, have a lot of liberties taken with it, too. Like, they could embellish it a lot. It would be it's a very good candidate for like a remake, like a complete ground up remake.
I'd love to see all the different Metroid types in with better graphics. We really haven't seen that since.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Becky, you wanted to take the next one?
Sure. Amiibo variants will release for popular characters. Example, Villager Girl, Yellow Wario, Varia Suit Samus, etc.
I can totally see that happening.
I think that's happening. Yeah. I feel like they're going to need something else to do with Amiibo, and I feel like variants is one of the things they could get away with really easily, you know, without necessarily having to...
They already have the two old Mario, 8-bit Marios, and the three Yarn Yoshis.
Exactly. Mm. So it's something they don't have to rely on
two different Robs.
Tying it to a game series.
Yeah.
That's right. I need to get on that Famicom Rob.
Dude, you don't have Famicom Rob?
No, I need to get a Famicom Rob.
You gotta get him for your girlies, man.
No. All my Amiibos occupy a completely different room. Different category of toy.
Oh, I see. They don't all play together?
If only we had a Dead or Alive game on the Wii U. Or
oh my god.
Amiibo for Dead or Alive.
Oh, jeez.
Dude.
That could...
Oh, man. Well, we have one on 3DS. It just doesn't support Amiibo.
I know, they should just go back and re-release it and like put out an Amiibo with it, just because.
I don't know,
I feel like, I don't. Would it be as popular without the jiggle physics, though?
Good
it
question.
Jiggle physics, doesn't it?
No, I mean like the Amiibo.
Oh,
they do make figures with jiggly parts.
Jigglypuff
parts. That's a real thing.
Jigglypuff.
I don't have any because they don't really release very often and they're very expensive.
Okay.
But those do exist.
Good to
know. The more you know.
All right, so the next question.
It'll probably get banned anyway. Yeah, so next prediction. Last prediction.
Oh, Splatoon game for the 3DS of some kind.
No.
Splatoon for 3DS. Yeah, that's not happening.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's sad because it needs to happen, but also it can't happen because it needs internet. So it's kind of a bummer.
I don't think the 3DS would be able to handle the physics of Splatoon either.
Oh, gosh, sorry.
Paint physics.
I was thinking handheld NX. Yeah, I don't think the 3DS could do it. Actually, I think that's why we didn't get Splatoon characters for Smash, was because they wanted to put ink on the ground, but they couldn't do it on the 3DS.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Those characters also don't have names.
Yeah.
They should give the standard Inkling Girl and Inkling Boy, like, some sort of name that, you know, it's like, it would be something that would have been thrown into, like, the manual back in the 90s or something. They would have been given some sort of obscure name. Then, like, it would be in, like, trivia things. What's the name of Inkling Girl? I bet you didn't read the manual.
Could be that jerk.
Doesn't the Duck Hunt dog have a name?
Ralph? I don't know.
No, it's like
no clue.
Happy Butt or something. He has a name. And then the Ice Climbers have names. Like these
Nana
guys should totally have names.
Yeah, it's like Nano and Popo.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, how many people would have known that back in the '80s?
Right.
That probably would have been on the arcade cabinet instructions.
Okay, so this is a very long opening segment, so we'll take a short break and we'll be back with our 20th anniversary Pokemon discussion. See you in a bit.
What kind of Pokemon are you? How do you do the things you do? Share with me your secrets deep inside. What kind of Pokemon are you? Are you loyal through and through? And do you have a heart that's true? What kind of Pokemon are you?
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
And now it's time for a little game we like to call Who's That Pokemon? So, for our first sound file, which is going to demonstrate the cry of a majestic Pokemon. Who is this Pokemon?
Is that like a Gyarados? It's not a Gyarados, but is it a Gyarados?
No.
It's not Gyarados.
I almost want to say, like, I feel like it's got to be one of, like, the Geodude evolutions.
Yeah, I was going to say Grabber.
No.
I was going to say Grabber.
Is it Ninetales?
It's not Ninetales.
Is it
No,
Arcanine?
I know Ninetales is different.
Not Arcanine.
He said, is it Rapidash?
Nope.
Damn it, he said Majestic.
Is it Golem?
No.
Okay, it's not.
All right. 5 seconds.
A legendary bird.
Four.
Moltres.
Three.
Ooh. Zapdos.
Crap.
Articuno.
Arcanos.
One.
Crap.
No, the answer was Kangaskhan.
Oh, I would have never gotten that.
The one I always forget about.
The one that, no, yeah, I didn't really care for Kangaskhan. But
yeah,
anyway.
I just kind of catch it and move on and just leave it in the box.
Okay, now for the second round of Who's That Pokemon?
This one.
Here's the sound. Who's That Pokemon?
And I love those 8-bit
sounds.
That is Jinx. That
is
Jinx. Nola. It's not?
No.
Oh, is that?
Is it Nidoran?
No.
Oh. Crap,
I know this one,
it.
Though.
I thought
it was Jinx. Recently.
Is it like a Starmie?
No, it's not Starmie.
Is it a water type?
No, it's not.
Okay,
right.
Well, shoot.
No, that sound is psychic type. It's gotta be.
It is a psychic type.
Is it Kadabra? No.
No.
Alakazam?
Is it Alakazam?
No.
Is it Abra?
Nope.
No.
Oh, it's
Mr.
It's
Mime?
Drowsy.
Nope.
Oh, Hypno.
Is it Hypno?
Hypno.
Yes!
That is the correct answer. Yes, very good.
You said drowsy and I was like, oh, no, wait, no!
Okay, everyone, thanks for playing Who's That Pokemon, and now we'll jump right back into our main discussion. What kind of Pokemon are you? Yeah, what kind are you? Take your normal type like Jigglypuff. And here we go. We're back and ready to talk all about Pokemon. I'm glad. Hope we had fun trying to guess 8-bit sound files.
I did enjoy that.
They're a lot closer to each other than you think they are.
Yeah, I tried to pick some that was sort of distinctive enough, I guess. But okay, so we're going to be talking about Pokemon because it's the 20th anniversary. It's hard to believe it's been quite that long, actually. Even though I guess it's a little shorter for all of us because, you know, it was like 98/99 before we even really knew what it was.
True.
But yeah, so it came out in Japan in 1996 with Green and Red.
Yep.
They then released a blue version in Japan a little bit later, which is basically what we got worldwide because they like fixed up a few glitches, I think, and redrew all the sprites to make them look a little
left
less.
Left many glitches intact.
Yeah, the original version must have been even worse, though, but they also, redrew all the sprites to make them look a little nicer.
And those are the sprites we got in yellow, right?
No, those are the ones we had in red and blue.
No,
they redrawn yet again for yellow.
Yeah, should.
Because they based them on the anime in yellow.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
You should definitely Google the original sprites because they are unrecognizably ugly.
Oh, okay.
I want to see this now.
So, yeah, as we know, Pokemon is basically an RPG with you going around the world capturing different creatures to fight against each other and possibly kill, maybe. The games were, like, almost instantaneously popular, I think, helped by the anime, I guess, in, like, Australia and the US and everything else. Because I saw the anime first and didn't really... I probably found out there was a game like a week later or something. And that's why I wanted a Game Boy straight away. I was like, yes, Game Boy. I think the games are pretty impressive as a Game Boy game. It's hard to sort of imagine now, but when you first started playing them on the original black and white Game Boy, It was something about the way the graphics were and like the way it drew you into the world that I don't know. It sort of, it must have just like triggered your imagination, because it must have just, it just fills in the gaps as you're playing it to me. Like you can sort of imagine what the world would be like a bit more.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, yeah, you had to be of a certain age to get that sort of magic happening. I imagine if you were like a little older, it might not have worked the same way. Like if you were like 17, 18 at the time, you'd be probably a little more cynical about the game.
Oh, sure.
Zach, you were a bit older. You're a bit older than us. So, like, how old were you when the game came out? Roughly.
They came out in 1999.
Yeah, late 98. Yeah.
You're going to make me do math now. So I'm 33, I think.
Wow.
Oh, God.
And sorry. So, Adam.
Jesus.
16 years, 17.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I don't know.
Mm.
Close enough.
I was driving. How about that?
Close
I was
enough.
Driving a car.
I was 11 in 98, so...
I was 8.
Okay, I was...
I was 8.
This would probably be where Neil comes in and says, I was in kindergarten.
No, Neil's like the same age as me, roughly. I think he's like a year between us.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Neil is old as fuck, man.
Yeah, he's older than
me. I give him a hard time.
But yeah, that was actually the year that I found out that all cars drive on the right in America. I used to think that they would watch the news every morning and they would say on the news which side of the road to drive on that day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's funny that you were driving while I was learning my first
still
thing
figuring
about
it out.
Yeah.
So okay.
God.
So let's go over some of our early like memories of how we, you know, found Pokemon and how we like got into the games and stuff. So Zach, you would have been old enough to possibly just go and buy the game right away if you felt like it, right?
Yeah, I had been primed for Pokemon by Nintendo Power. Mm-hmm. And Nintendo Power for several months had been running a little insert mini magazine called Pokemon Power, yeah, or something to that effect. And it was not only like back-to-back issues of it formed essentially an entire strategy guide for Pokemon, but they also had a little comic book, which was stills from the anime, before the anime had come out. So I was all about Pokemon when it first came out. And I got Red, and my brother got Blue. He's 7 years younger than me. And we both caught them all. We were trading all the time. We were fighting all the time on our old-ass Game Boys. And, I was fully invested in Pokemon. I was all about the card game. God, I was a lifeguard. Now I'm remembering more of this. I was a lifeguard at the time, and on my lunch breaks, I would usually wander over to the comic shop, which was like a 10-minute walk, and I'd buy one or two packs. I was like an addict to the friggin' Pokemon card game. But yeah, I was playing that all the time and loving every minute of it. And we got Yellow and I played through Yellow. And, me or my brother have owned every Pokemon game between us, every mainline Pokemon game that's ever come out.
Yeah.
Which is horrifying to consider. But yes, I was all about Pokemon.
It's just, yeah, it is just crazy that at the time, you know, my parents were like, Pokemon's just a fad, you know, it'll go away just like Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers or whatever. I was like, no, it's going to stay forever. And I've been proven right.
Since. 20 years later, you're like, ha!
Yeah, you know, even though, you know, like Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers are also still going. Yeah, so.
Yeah, Ninja Turtles more than ever, and Power Rangers did. A new comic just came out, and they're getting a movie. There's going to be an actual,
they're getting
like,
another movie.
For real movie.
Yeah.
Wow, these Pokemon look terrible.
They do. I Googled it myself and found this. I was like, oh god, these sprites are ugly.
Yeah, some of them I like more than the new ones, though.
Yeah.
All right, Becky, how about you?
Well, I was actually in the same boat as Zach's younger brother, and that my sister was 6 years older than me. And mm-hmm. she had Game Boy Pocket that she had gotten for nice. Christmas 1 year, yeah, and she got Pokemon Blue, and I remember watching her play through it because she was, I think, all the way through, like, Cinnabar Island or something, and she was starting to go back to catch a bunch of Pokemon, and she had this printout of the Pokedex that she had found online where to get everything yes. she could, and she was, like, going through and highlighting them as she got them. She had actually, she had Pokemon Red, not Blue. Sorry, my bad. And I just remember I was watching it. I had no idea what she was doing. She just had this big list, and I was like, all these names are so weird. Like, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, I just have to catch all these things. And I was like, oh, that looks kind of cool. And so she let me play around on it a little bit, but obviously I couldn't save anything. So I started with, like, Squirtle the first, very, very first time. And I got through yes. through the Pewter Gym, and that was about as far as I got. Like, and so I was like, okay, I really, really want this game. I like it. It's so much fun. So I actually, I don't even remember how many months it took me. But at the time, when I decided to actually get my Game Boy Color, my very, very first Game Boy, my mom had just gotten married to my stepdad, so I went from having just two sisters to now having five siblings.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I got three step siblings, and at that time, I think two of them were like 12, 13, getting up to like 14, and basically, three of my siblings had paper routes that they had gotten because they were all, you know, young enough that paper route was pretty much one of the only jobs they could get. And they were all getting to the point where they were like, okay, I have something else to do. Can somebody do my paper route? And my sister, my oldest sister, Sarah, used to take me on hers all the time because a couple of her subscribers gave candy. So she was like, I will give you candy if you come help me do my job. And I was extremely gullible for candy. So it got to the point where there were times that she couldn't do it. So she's like, oh, hey, do you want to do my paper route? I'll pay you this much to do it. And I'm like, okay. And both of them one of my stepsisters and both of my sisters started getting to the point where they were like, okay, I don't feel like doing it today. Becky, do you want to do it? And I was like, yes. Because I'm saving up for Game Boy Color. So basically, I, over several months, saved up all the money they kept giving me to do their paper routes in this little tin that had a little lock on it with one of those keys that you could have just broken the stupid lock and stolen my money. But the important thing was it was locked. And I got like $70, and my mom helped me go on eBay and find somebody who was using a slightly used Game Boy Color. It was purple. With a Pokemon Blue version with it.
I had a purple Game Boy Color too.
And I bought it for $70, and that was like the first game system I ever owned that was mine. And I played Pokemon Blue. And I just remember like, I got so excited because it was all in color. It was just blue. It was all like monotone blue, but my sister's version.
It was a single color.
Yeah. My sister's version had been just gray. So I was like, look, mine's blue. Suck it. So I got really excited and I played it, you know, I got super duper obsessed with it for a long time. And I just remember, really specifically the first time she challenged me to a battle. Cause I was like, okay, I've got strong Pokemon. I can totally do this. Okay. This is basically like your older sibling just beating up on you for the fun of it. Because my sister knew how bad I was at video games. You know, I'm 7 years old at this point, maybe eight. And she's like, yeah, let's do a Pokemon battle. And she kicked my butt so hard. Like, we pretty much got through. I think I defeated one of her Pokemon. And then she sent out a Gengar and just used Hypnosis and Dream Eater on everything. And I was like, And I just like cried after that because all my Pokemon were dead. And she was like, well, you just got to get better. And I'm like, thanks, get Sarah. Good. Yeah, no, this is like, I'm like, years later, I'm
Gary
like,
a lot, didn't she?
I feel like, you know, years and years later, I'm like, I really hope you're proud of yourself for kicking the snot out of an 8-year-old. You know, when you were freaking 15 or whatever. It's like, damn.
I'm sure the tables have turned now, though.
Yeah, I don't even know if she's actually gotten the, like, last three generations of Pokemon, because she can't afford a 3DS.
Oh.
But she's starting to get my nephew into it. She, like, last Christmas, she was going around asking people, she's like, hey, does anybody have Pokemon Emerald or something like that? Because we got Cade a Game Boy Advanced SP to play it. And she's like, yeah, nice. You know, I can't really afford a brand new system, but we got one of these used. So does anybody have any of the Game Boy Advanced generation games? So she got him Pokemon Emerald to play.
Nice.
So it's kind of interesting to see going on to the next generation. I was like, oh my god, do I have any of my games that I can give him? What? But, yeah.
Cool. How about you, Adam? What's your story?
Well, mine's pretty boring. I saw the commercial, not the anime or anything, and I called my dad at work, and he's always worked in restaurants, so he's, like, worked late and stuff, and I called him at work, which is not something that, like, we normally did, and I told him, I was like, please, will you stop at the store and buy me this game? And he was like, why? And I was like, I would need it. I need it so badly. I want it. And he was like, what are you talking about? Like, just out of nowhere, the commercial just, like, sucked me in. It was like, you need this. And I was like, I need
yes,
this.
Yes, I do.
I do. And he was like, what's it called? And I'm like, I don't know. It has some weird name. There's a red one and a blue one. I want the red one. Please don't give me the blue one. And he was like, okay, but I think the store's going to be closed when I get off work, and I don't even know what you want. And I was like, just please, 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 I need it. I want it so bad. And then he showed up really late at night with Pokemon Red.
Nice.
And I was like, holy
wow,
shit. Like,
nice.
I can't believe that this worked.
Well, that was a fast turnaround, yeah.
Jeez.
I know. Like,
you
I
got it like the same day.
I did not think that it was going to happen, but it did. So my mom told me I couldn't take it to school or anything, so I had to leave it at home.
Eventually, schools told you couldn't take it to school.
Yeah.
Yeah, eventually that.
Stop worshiping the devil.
Yeah.
But then my brother was all like, because then Pokemon blew up and everyone was talking about it, everyone knew about it. And my brother was like trying to play on my save file all the time, but I didn't want to miss anything because I knew you couldn't go back and redo anything. So I was like, no, you cannot play my game. And one night I was in like Celadon City. I was stuck. I couldn't figure out that I needed a glass of water to give to those thirsty bros around whatever city, Saffron or something.
Saffron, yeah.
And so I was stuck. I hit a wall. And I didn't want my brother to figure it out, so I hid my Game Boy. But I couldn't. The next day, I couldn't find it anywhere. I had lost my Game Boy, my original childhood Game Boy. It was a gift from my uncle. And it was just gone with my Pokemon game. And then, like, 6 months
later,
it was
my... dad at work.
No. I was just really sad because my brother, in that time, he was, like, playing baseball or something. He bought Pokemon Blue from some guy on his team. So he was playing his Pokemon game. And I didn't have a Pokemon game. And I was really sad. And I loved Pokemon. So then, like, 6 months later for my birthday, my mom came and she took me out of school. And it was like, I was felt so special. And I got a Game Boy Pocket, the metallic one.
Oh, yeah.
And a new copy of Pokemon Red. And I was so excited. I was so happy. And I got through it. I finally figured out how to get past the damn guards. And then I found it. I found my old Game Boy in my closet.
Nice.
Yeah. So I had two copies. Nice. And with my two copies and my brother's blue and my neighbor across the street's copy, we completed the Pokedex together.
Hell yes.
And it was very nice. Magical.
I had to wait for, like, I can't even remember how long. My best friend got Pokemon Red after, you know, probably a year, I think, or a year and a half within the time I got Pokemon Blue. So I had to wait for a significant amount of time because my sister just, I can't even remember what she did with hers. I think she gave it away or stopped playing it until I could actually complete the Pokedex. And then it was... And then for the longest time, her and I were doing that thing where, you know, I had one version and she had the other. So that's how I got so far in Pokemon Gold and Pokemon Sapphire. Because I was like, I've got a friend who buys these Pokemon games as much as I do.
Got that certificate from the creators of the game.
Yes, I did. It was
so upset.
It was the most horrifying moment of my life. I was like, what is this? I put all this work in for this? Kidding
exactly
me.
Exactly right.
I was so
yeah,
upset.
Yeah, you're supposed to get a Mew, but we didn't get
a Mew. I thought
so
too. I actually thought there was going to be something really special, which, just on a quick side note, I think out of all of these sprites, the ugliest one is probably Mew.
Mew looks like a fetus.
The old Mew space fetus.
It's really ugly.
Although Machamp is a close second. God, what is that thing?
I don't know. This is why they redid them as soon as they got any money.
Well, some
they
of the redos
like,
are worse. Like, Pidgeot is awful in the new one. He looks like a head with some wings.
Yeah. Pidgeot actually looks kind of cool in the other one.
As
for Masure, like I said, I saw the anime first, and for some reason I thought I had originally seen it in, like, Easter. But it turns out that the anime didn't start in Australia apparently until October in 98. So around that time, the games came out at the same time as well. So it must have been around that time. So I saw the first episode and like it was instantly hooked. I'd never seen like a concept or like a cartoon quite like it before, even though I'd seen like Sailor Moon and Astro Boy and things in the past. Pokemon stood out as being something different. It's like really exciting.
Yeah.
And
that first episode, it tugs at your heartstrings.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's good. And like most of the people that I knew ended up just like getting their parents to like buy them the game straight away. As I had to wait as well. I had to wait at least 6 months probably to like save up a bit of money and stuff. So I used to like, yeah, I used to, when I was over at someone's house or they had the game, I would like just start playing their cartridge and not save it. So, you know, sometimes I would like sleep over at someone's house and they would be asleep. I would just turn on the Pokemon game and play to like Cerulean City or something. And then the time comes and you got to like switch it off and you're like, oh, damn. All that work.
Again.
Yeah. And like, my sister used to have like piano lessons at a shopping center every Saturday. So I used to go and stare at the game at Toys R Us and like read the back of the box and everything. Just like, I gotta put it back on the shelf. So I was like, when I finally got it, I knew a lot about the game already. So I could sort of just like, zoom through a lot of it, but do you guys remember like playing on like one of the older Game Boys? Like there was like a cheat that you could get through Rock Tunnel without using flash and stuff like that. Like you could just pump the contrast up and you could see the walls and everything.
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all. I might not have done it.
Yeah, I used to do we used to do little tricks like that.
Yeah. Obviously, I had a color, like, so I couldn't do that, but my friend had
you couldn't do that.
Yeah,
the,
she had the whole.
Color,
she had the old brick.
I forgot
Game
there
Boy.
Was contrast settings, that contrast thing on the old Game Boy.
Yeah,
even the Pocket had a contrast thing. I had a Game Boy Pocket, and then I think, in 1999, it might have been for my birthday, I got the Game Boy Color Pokemon Special Edition with like, Pikachu and Meowth and stuff on it.
Nice. Right?
So that was cool. And, so I ended up playing, I probably restarted the game during that, like those first couple of years, like 5 or 6 times. A few of those were due to accidents in cloning Pokemon.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
It erased your save file if you didn't do it quite right. And I remember, like, a friend of mine would, like, I was down at his house and, cloning Pokemon, and then I was like, oh yeah, I know how to do it, it's fine I'll clone you like these Pokemon, and then it erased his game and he was like 140 something Pokemon
on
the Pokedex.
Ouch.
I was like, and he got upset about it. I was like, it's all right, I'll erase my game and we'll start again together.
Aww.
So I erased my game and it was like, I was also close to finishing it as well, but
crap.
Yeah, stuff like that happened, and it's kind of funny looking back on that, yeah. It's like, I hope cloning works in the 3DS.
I think there was only one. I think there was only one time my game glitched out like that, and it was the missing no glitch. I tried to duplicate, I duplicated my items and that went by just fine. But those like Snorlax that show up there, I caught one of those and I had it in my PC box. I had actually like two of them, I think. And I came back into my game one day and every Pokemon I had in my box was gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never encountered those sort of glitches. The only thing I ever went wrong was with the cloning thing because that was heaps more risky.
Mm-hmm.
Living on the edge. Yeah,
there is a lot of like random glitches in that. That's how, like, when I actually played and completed Blue Version again a couple of years ago because I replaced the internal battery in the cartridge.
Nice.
So I was like, I'll start again, and I finished the Pokédex, and it was the first time I looked into how to glitch Mew, how to get Mew.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do a bunch of sort of weird steps, and you get to a point in around Cerulean City where Mew will appear and you can catch it. I was like, I wish I knew that, had known that back in the day, because it would have been so impressive to turn up at school and go, I've got a Mew.
Yeah.
I actually got my first Mew like a month and a half ago, actually right before they announced the fact that they were releasing all the event Pokemon. One of my friends was playing, he had Y, I think it was, and then he got a new 3DS XL, and when he tried to transfer his save data, all of the save data corrupted for Pokemon. So he lost everything, and he had, like, the Pokedex filled up, and he had so many shinies. So he finally got, a new version, and one of his friends gave him a crap ton of Pokemon on it. Then I helped him get a bunch of stuff that he was missing from like Gen 5 because I had moved a bunch of stuff via the Poke Transporter to my game and I had a bunch of excess things that I didn't need. So we were for a good like 2 weeks, just me and two of my other friends just trading so many Pokemon back and forth. And he just goes, yeah, so is there anything you guys want? Just because, you know, I have no life and do nothing but like play video games all day. I will breed you shinies and I will get stuff. So he bred me a shiny Charmander. So I have a shiny Charmander with almost perfect EVs even. And he evolved it for me too. And then he just randomly was like, oh yeah, I can get you guys like a Mew or something. One of my friends that I know has like six because his friend had either gone to Japan or lived there for a short period of time. So one of their events, he had just gotten a crap ton of them and had been transferring them through his games. So he's like, yeah, if you want one. I was like, yeah, please, sure, this is great. And then he just shows up and he gives me a shiny Mew. I have a shiny blue Mew in my Pokemon X game, and I'm just like, ha ha, I feel so cool.
I have a couple Mews just sitting in my Pokemon box because they've released event Mews several times over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I think they even released one for Heart Gold, Soul Silver. but I'm really disappointed with the most recent Mew because it only knows Pound.
What?
Really?
Yeah, the GameStop Mew only knows Pound.
Wow, I haven't gotten that one yet.
It's at level 100.
Wow.
So it's the most useless event Pokemon I've ever gotten.
What? They give it to you at level 100?
Yeah.
It's level 100 and it only knows Pound. But
that's weird.
I'm still gonna
Mew
get it,
can learn every TM.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, sure, but yeah. Like, come on.
And take it to the move tutor.
I was going to wait until I went to go get Fire Emblem to pick up the code for it.
Oh yeah.
Like back in the day though, with Red and Blue, I didn't, like, most people didn't even know about Mew until at least, you know, leading up to the first movie and stuff. But then it came down to like trying to find a kid that had gone to some event in like a major city that actually got Mew.
Yes.
So you could actually get it added to your Pokedex.
Funny? That's like, that was all I wanted to do. Like, I would trade a kid for a Pokemon I didn't have, then give it right back. All I wanted was the Pokedex entry.
Yeah, I used to do that because like most people wanted their own Pokemon back.
Yeah.
Right.
For whatever reason, I guess, like if they use them, I guess, but yeah, like having, like, I didn't get to go to one of those events to get them to install it on your unlock it on your game, but it would have been kind of cool. Well, I don't think I got Mew on my blue version until like 2000 or something, because I hadn't met anyone that actually had it. And so, yeah.
I got a Mew on red and blue. I just don't remember how. But I know I recognized the sprite in my game. I just couldn't tell you how I got it.
Well, you might have seen it on the Game Boy camera, because the sprite was on that.
Oh, I did not have the Game Boy camera.
Oh, as like a stamp on there. They taunted you with it on the Game Boy camera.
Game Boy camera is always something I've wanted to buy, and there is one at Bosco's at the comic shop, but there's not a Game Boy printer, so what's the point?
Yeah.
Well, there are ways to rip the information onto a computer now. I've been doing that recently.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
So you can do that if you wanted to. What was I going to say? All right, so yeah, let's just jump into sort of the playthrough. Like, we all played through the game leading up to this episode, so we can just talk about sort of recent experiences and some other, you know, anecdotes, whatever, that come up. So how did everyone play? What version did everyone play? Zach, what did you play? Yellow?
Red.
Oh, red. You played red. Okay. Becky?
I also played red, because considering that blue was the first one I got, and yellow was essentially the anime adaptation version, red is actually the one I've played the least. So I was like, yeah, oh, okay. I'll play red. Yeah. Mm.
Adam, what did you use?
This is my first time ever playing blue.
Ooh.
Blue's the best version.
It is not the best version.
It's Blastoise. Blastoise is awesome.
No, because I played it on a Game Boy Color. The only color is blue. Everything is blue.
You know
blue.
You can change the color palette on the Game Boy Color.
Yeah, but yeah, Pokemon you
hold down
Red.
A directional button and select, I think.
In blue,
you just push left and B and you get black and white.
Oh, in blue, nice. All the water is blue, which is stupid. But in red, it's like seas of blood everywhere.
Well, which
is beautiful. That, it's all that, you know, Pokemon fishing industry.
Yeah, you fish
whichever
and then you murder them and you just leave
them. Whichever version has Scyther as the best version.
That's red.
Red, yeah.
Yeah.
The blue version has Caterpie, so you get Butterfree.
That's true, I do
what?
Like
what, they both
Butterfree.
Have Caterpie. Oh, yeah,
yeah.
Well, it's actually, so. Yeah, you're right. They actually do, but it's really hard to find Caterpie.
Oh, that's
red.
Right. Weedle's really hard. It's just heaps... uncommon, yeah.
Yeah, it just keeps throwing freaking Weedle at you, going, here, you want a Weedle?
Yeah.
You want a Weedle? Here, have another Weedle.
So oh! I played Yellow version this time around, because I bought the cartridge not that long ago, actually, and placed the battery in that. I did own Yellow originally, but I ended up selling it when I was younger. I wish I didn't now. I wish I didn't sell some of the stuff that I did back then for really cheap.
I'm right there with you.
Because Pokemon games, for some reason, are super expensive. I mean, in Australia, on like the buy swap sales on Facebook and stuff, a beat up cartridge can sell for $50.
Good God.
And like eBay's worse than that, so. Yeah. So, I only got to like the second gym badge in this playthrough, but you know, we're all pretty familiar with how the game goes, and I'm gonna just keep playing Yellow, because I called my character Ash, and I was only gonna capture and use the Pokemon that Ash used in the anime, so I've been building his team slowly, so I had that angle going on, so that's kind of cool. I don't know if I would have to release Butterfree at a certain point, just
yes. Why?
Actually, speaking of releasing Pokemon into the wild, I always, for some reason as a kid, I like wondered, oh, if I release this Pokemon, is there a chance that I can just randomly come up against it in the field, like one day? I think that would be really cool. Imagine just coming across like a level 30 Butterfree or something.
You're like, oh my god, like, oh, is this
there?
Is
he
this
is.
My
that's
Butterfree?
One. I can recapture it.
Yeah.
That had the one that had your name that you named it.
I hate doing that.
Oh god,
I do too. I never name them.
I'm ridiculous for naming all of my Pokemon either after nerd references or really bad puns. like, one of my, when I was trading with that friend of mine I was telling you about to help him get his Pokedex back, he just like, oh god, you, or wait, you nickname Pokemon, don't you? And I was like, oh yeah. He was like, okay, so I want you to get me a Honedge. And I was like, well, you gotta pick a nickname because I'm gonna nickname it. And he's like, okay, okay, I got nothing. Just name it something. So I was like, okay. Because he was super duper obsessed with playing Xenoblade at the time, I decided to name it Monado. So he got a Honedge called Monado.
Oh my god.
So, like, a lot of people say that the, you know, the original Pokemon games are, like, they age so badly, they're unplayable.
I'm one of those people.
I don't agree with it being unplayable. I mean, sure, the graphics and everything look, you know, if you didn't grow up with it,
it'd be
hard to look at. Some of the way that your bag works and the computer and all that is a little annoying. But I don't think it's unplayable. I don't see how it's unplayable. And I really like how seamless the world is. That was, like, that's, like, a really cool thing, how, you know, in other RPGs and that, you might go to a world map and then sort of trudge along a miniaturized version of the world. Pokemon was always in the same perspective. It was always pretty much seamless. You could just walk around to different cities, and it felt more, like, realistic in a weird way. It was, like, the world was, like, felt alive to me.
Sure.
So Zach, why do you think it's aged badly?
First let me say that I got to the third gym. I didn't beat the third gym, but I got there. And I like the world building. I think the game, you know, the game itself has a solid foundation. I can deal with the graphics. The graphics are, you know, fine to me because I grew up with it. I just think that for all the joking we do about, oh, you know, Pokemon's been the same for 20 years, why buy a new game? Just buy the originals and play those. They really have made a ton of iterative changes that radically improve the experience.
Absolutely.
I agree.
I don't think that makes the old ones unplayable.
I don't think that, no, I'm not going to say it makes them unplayable, but it makes it just, I mean, like I said before, I've played every Pokemon generation, and coming off of Omega Ruby, or even, shit, Heart Gold, Soul Silver, going back to this, the original games with the ridiculous encounter rates, especially in dungeons, with the obscene item prices for how much money you get in battles, for the way you have to, I know maybe this is sacrilege, but putting that effing Magikarp at the front of my party so that he can gain experience, and not even that much experience.
No, the experience and then is terrible.
Doesn't Magikarp evolve in, like, level 30 or something?
No, he's still 20.
Oh, he's still 20? Is it? Okay.
But even so, you know, your next Pokemon has to take the hit when you switch him out. And the balancing in this old game is so awful. Every time you fight a Raticate, the Raticate annihilates you with Hyper Fang.
Yeah.
Just, if he uses Hyper Fang, you're going to die. Because he's not only going to do a whole lot of damage, your opponents get like 5 times the critical hits you do. And, you know, more than that, if there's a status effect, you're going to get that status effect. If you use the attack with the status effect, it's not going to affect them at all. So the combination of the encounter rate, which grinds you down, and then when you do approach a trainer, their chances of doing significant damage are so much better than yours. It just drives me up the wall. That's ultimately why I stopped playing.
Your Pokemon need to be stronger. You need to be like a few levels higher.
Well, you do need to be a few levels, but that means you just have to grind and grind.
Yeah.
And you gain so little experience in this game per fight.
Yeah. I guess.
I didn't run into any of that.
I couldn't stand it.
Like, I was OP rolling down all the bitches.
Maybe part of the problem was that... part of the problem was, like an idiot, I chose Bulbasaur.
I chose Bulbasaur. Starter,
which I chose is Charmander, guys. Charmander.
Bulbasaur is the worst choice because he doesn't learn Vine Whip until he's at level 12 or 13. So you have to grind 12 or 13 till just to fight Brock. Because Brock will kill anybody else you've even caught up to that point. But, and that's the other thing. The type advantage, I was very surprised by this. The type advantage is not as critical in this game as later ones.
No, it's super critical. Maybe not early in the game, but it's pretty much if you have type advantage, you can take out the enemy in one hit.
Not for Bulbasaur versus Onix or even Geodude.
I'm trying to remember what level my
and even I had my Bulbasaur Pikachu was. Fighting what's her face Misty, and it took multiple Thundershocks to get any of her Pokemon to die.
Yeah, I in Yellow I didn't one hit kill Misty's Pokemon. It took at least two or three.
Yeah,
whereas in the newer games, even I think Gold and Silver, the type advantage was far more effective. Kind of want to play Gold and Silver now to see what the difference is.
Don't worry, we'll do a segment on that when they release those.
There you go.
I'm sure that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
probably.
But I definitely really did.
Sorry. I was going to say, I definitely did just the hardest, I think, path at least to start with, because Charmander's my bro. I love my Charmander and my Charizard when I eventually get it, so fighting Brock is a pain.
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously, like, all the rest of your Pokemon are, like, bird type and normal type, bug type. You're like, none of these work.
Right.
It is, literally, I have to beef up my Charmander and just throw Ember at it over and over and over again, and just, like, you're gonna die from sheer strength, is what you're gonna do. You know, like...
See, the way I used to play the games, and I also was doing this on this Yellow playthrough as well, I tended to get, like... I'll get like a Butterfree and I'll have my main Pokemon and I'll have a Pidgey as well usually. And I'll raise all of them to like level 12 before I challenge Brock.
Jesus.
Just because that's the way I used to play it. It was grinding was a little more like I have less patience for it now. But back when I was younger, I used to like the idea of I'm making my Pokemon stronger.
Oh yeah, me too. Back in the day, it was much more tolerable because that was just how I played the game.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, Butterfree will, like, stomp Brock once, you know, you've got the Butterfree and the couple moves off its sleeve.
If you've got, like, Confusion and Sleep Powder, you can usually do some Confusion's good damage.
Confusion's pretty powerful.
Because Confusion's pretty powerful, and you can put them to sleep to the point where they can't one-hit KO your Butterfree with, you know, because it's unfortunately just not that strong.
Because I used to like with the whole thing with the grinding just then as well. I used to try and space out my trainers because I knew they gave you more experience. I was like, if I have like, I used to give myself like benchmarks to milestones to reach. So I was like, I'm not gonna leave Cerulean City until I'm like level 25 or something.
Wow.
I used to like space it out that much, and then like later in the game it kind of went away because you're generally like I was generally strong enough.
But, yeah.
And also, the game gets harder if you have a full team of Pokemon. If you have a full team of six, it's much harder to keep them the same.
Keep everyone at the same
level. Oh, yeah.
As soon as a Pokemon levels up in my games, I switch them. I keep them all the same level. I hate having like Pokemon like five levels apart or something. They've all got to be the same.
Me too. Like, I was rocking a five-man team because I couldn't find a six that was doing it for me.
Generally, my starter is almost always like five levels higher than anything else because it's just stronger, but everything else is usually comparable to the same level. Like, I might have one that's at the front of my team that's like one or two levels less than the others, but they all hover around the same level.
See, I'll hold my starter back until the others catch up.
Nope. I let my Charizard just rip everything apart. Because that's what
people,
I do.
Kids back in the day just used to only use their starter and just like get all the levels to one Pokemon to stomp everything.
Wow.
I could never wanted to do that.
No. Kind of
well, boring. If you do that, you run into problems with your level cap.
Yeah, and with type disadvantage, because there was things when you just got to you know, got, I loved my Charmander up to Misty's gym, and then it was like, well, crap, I can't even touch you. You're like a plague right now. Just go over there and sit. Let Pikachu take care of this, please. But yeah, no, you kind of ran into that when you were comparable to any of your gym leaders or something, and then all of a sudden they pulled out a Pokemon that you were weak against. You're like, well, crap, I'm done for, because the rest of my Pokemon suck.
Right.
That was my first experience, I think, with Brock's gym that was really bad. As I remember, way back when, I can't remember which starter at the time I was using, but I just by sheer bad luck, they did a critical on me, and my starter died, and it's just like everything else was just terrible. I was like, yeah, I lost, because none of these other Pokemon can do enough damage. They suck. Like,
yeah.
I
mean, they're not good against Brock types anyway, but...
I once beat Brock with Metapod using Struggle.
Oh my god.
Yeah, talk about skinning your teeth.
Did you like just use Harden for ages and then you were strong enough to like survive
enough
hits or something?
Yeah. I think it was like close to evolving, so it was like a pretty high level Metapod, but
you were like maybe it was a samurai in the anime.
Yep.
Exactly.
You use Harden. I use Harden too.
You're novice, master. You're a novice trainer.
I was, stop it with that trainer crack.
What does novice mean, samurai?
I actually what does it know mean? What that meant back when I was watching that anime for the first time. I was like, what is he even talking about?
No one did.
I always wanted
when
to, like...
the word novice came into the American language.
What?
That was when the samurai was talking about novice.
Novice.
I wanted to, like... Do you remember the episode in the anime where there was like a dude that had his own unofficial gym and he was training his Sandshrew in like water and weights and everything?
AJ the EV trainer.
I always wanted to make my own. I always wanted to make my own like Pokemon gym that people would come to like a place where I was and like challenge me in the Game Boy games.
I'm
and, like,
surprised that hasn't. Badge. I'm surprised that hasn't been implemented yet. Honestly,
yeah. To be honest,
people could do it. You can do that. You could just do it anyway, like if you wanted to. But just getting people to come and battle you, I guess.
Yeah. Is,
wait, are you talking about in-game or in the real world?
I'm talking about in real life.
Yeah, there's like Pokemon Leagues. You can go join a Pokemon League and play cards.
Yeah, but it's not
or
the same as
the
like
game.
Having like...
There's a gym leader. A
gym around.
You can play the gym leader. I don't know, my gym leader, his name is Squeaky.
Okay.
Yeah. And I found out there's another gym somewhere in town. And the gym leader there stole Squeaky's girlfriend. And there's like bad blood between the two Pokemon gyms in my town.
Are they going to fight in Pokemon to settle it?
Oh, so no, it's like that like... one episode of Pokemon with the two competing gyms, with the Scyther and Electabuzz.
Yeah,
kind of like that. Yeah. It's weird. But yeah.
Okay, yeah. Adam, what were you going to say before you were saying something?
Oh, I don't know. What I could have been saying anything.
about the games, anything else?
Oh, about the games. Yeah, when I was playing it, I decided to do as many glitches as I could. I wanted to play with glitches.
Oh, yeah. And, rare candy cheat all the way.
Oh, no, that's child's play. I was doing some hard stuff, man. Like, there's
it's novice.
It's not novice. You don't know how to glitch, novice.
Novice.
But in Viridian Forest, if you get in a Pokemon battle on a tile in front of a certain trainer and lose, then it glitches out and you could potentially get like a rare Pokemon.
What?
Yeah. And I was looking at this glitch online, and the guy I was watching, it took him like 30 tries to get it. And I was like, oh, I'm never going to get that. And what he did is he weakened his Pokemon before, and saved and like went and stepped on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to do all that, because he had to try so many times, because you have to get into a Pokemon battle with a wild Pokemon on the tile in front of a trainer. So it's like so random. I was like, there's no way I'm doing that. So I go to face the trainer, and I get attacked by a Caterpie while I'm standing in front of the trainer. Like, I wasn't even trying to do it, but it happened on my first try. But all my Pokemon were, like, really, like, healthy. So I was like, am I really going to do this?
Sit here and take the hits?
Yeah, so I sat there and I took the hits. I had to do things like use Growl a lot, which made it last longer. But I didn't want to attack him, or else he'd... So it took me like half an hour to do this. Finally, I do it. And depending on what Pokemon you fight, like based on one of their stats, you get a different Pokemon. And one of them was a Nidoking. And I was like, oh, that looks cool. A Nidoking at the beginning of the game. Like, yeah, I want that. And if you use Growl on it 6 times, like normally it's level 7, but every time you use Growl on the Pokemon that you fight before it appears, the level goes down 1. And if you get it to level 1, and then you level it up, or you get it enough experience to go, to not go up to level 2, like just a little bit of experience, it'll jump up to level 100. Like it's some weird glitch with level 1 Pokemon. So, I did that a couple times, and I kept getting the wrong Pokemon. Like Slowpoke would show up, and like other Pokemon that I didn't want. And then I finally got Nidoking to show up, and I was so excited, and he was level 1. So I capture him, and I go to take him out of my PC box, and the game crashed. The level 1 Pokemon in my box crashed it. So I had to do it again.
Oh.
Yeah, and then I messed it up, and I got a level 2... I got a level 2 Nidoking.
That's good enough.
Level 2, but it didn't... The level 1 ones, you could glitch up to level 100, but the level 2 ones, you couldn't. So I had to go through the game with this normal level Pokemon. And then when I got to Cerulean City, there's that glitch to get Mew, which is really similar in concept. And I found out there you can actually get 2 Mews right there. So I got both of them. One of them I forgot to growl at, so it was level 7. And then the other one I messed up and it was level 2, not level 1. So I almost did the glitch right, but... Twice, 3, 4, 100 times I messed it up. So I never got...
I'm just glad there's like a way to get Mew without worrying about it. Because like on the 3DS re-releases now, you'll be able to get Mew and it'll be all good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then once I got through... It was kind of a slog until I got to like Cerulean City. The game is kind of narrow through there, but once you get out of Rock Tunnel, you have like 4 different towns you can go to, kind of defeat gyms in whatever order. You can go to Safari Zone. You're kind of powerful, so you can just go do whatever you want. So I understand what Zach was saying, but I think that's mostly like early game stuff. Once you get to Cerulean City, it's a lot more fun. But I ended up beating it like right after I got to Cerulean City. It's all downhill. You're almost done with the game before you get your 4th badge. But I ended up doing like the missing no trick, which a lot of people don't know this, but it will have Pokemon from the last place you were. So if you go to the Safari Zone and then you do the missing no trick, the Safari Zone Pokemon will show up there. So you can just catch them there like normal.
Because I knew you could always find random Pokemon. Like sometimes you randomly come across like a Bulbasaur or a Mewtwo or stuff like that as well, and you could capture them and stuff.
If you had read the treatise on Pokemon strategy that I sent you, it's in there. It's all in there. It's based on your character's name and the last location that you were. So you get 3 random Pokemon based on your name, and then you get some random Pokemon based on the last location that you were. But I love this game. It's crazy that old games are like a time capsule for your brain. Like, when I was playing this game, like all these emotions and memories from when I played this game the first time all came back, and I felt like a little kid again. And I thought it was pretty special. You know, when I play a newer Pokemon game, like, oh, it feels like Pokemon or whatever, but when I play the old ones, it takes me back to the moment in time when I first played that game. And I mean, it's not just Pokemon, it's any game. Maybe that's just like a generally known thing, but I just realized that.
If you're like a kid, you're playing, say, Yo-Kai Watch today, it might be like that in 20 years' time.
Right.
Yeah.
If Yo-Kai Watch is still sort of around and stuff, but it's anything you sort of experience, I guess, as a younger kid. Because I was like 11, like close to 12 when the games came out, like, it wasn't cool to like Pokemon at school, really. And like, I'm pretty sure pretty much everyone in my year, like, watched the cartoon, but most people didn't admit to it and like made fun of everyone that did and stuff.
Yeah.
Did you guys have like you and Becky are a bit younger, but Zach, did you have like people making fun of you for playing like a little kiddie Pokemon game?
Well, I didn't really go to school. I homeschooled through through high school.
Okay.
So
you probably didn't have that.
Didn't really have that, but the people I did hang out with did play Pokemon and liked it. So I got some flack from the other lifeguards.
Yeah.
But nothing serious. I mean, everyone was a gamer, so they understood, I guess, the appeal of the games. And I think things started turning a corner with Gold and Silver. I think that's when the series really kind of hit mainstream acceptance.
Yeah.
But with Red and Blue, I didn't get a lot of flack. I got a little bit, but it's probably because of my situation.
Yeah, me and my friends, because all my actual closer friends were into it and stuff, and we had a fan club and we made little booklets and everything. And we had I had a friend in Sydney, so we had a member that was in Sydney. I was like,
wow.
Oh, look, we've got a long distance member that never comes to our meetings.
one of the super nerdy things I used to do, because I was into the card game, I forget what the magazine was, but there used to be a magazine that was kind of dedicated to Pokemon cards, and it would have a listing of all the Pokemon cards that had come out, but it would also list pretty awful translations of Japanese expansions that had just come out.
So, was it Pojo?
Yeah, I think it was Pojo.
I remember that magazine.
And I got so excited about the Gym Leader expansions and the Neo expansions, because the Neo expansions, of course, were for Gold and Silver. And I used to, I should PDF some of these things, but I made my own Pokemon cards based on those translations of Gold and Silver Pokemon. And the local gym leader at the Pokemon Trading Card Game League in town at Bosco's, he said I could use them as long as other kids were okay with me using them. And they were all like, those are awesome. Yes, use them. So they never won me any games, but, and the translations were awful. I forget what some of them were called, but they had some pretty funny names in this Pojo translation. But man, I had a lot of Pojo magazines. That was a sickness, is what that was.
did Adam and Becky, did you guys do anything sort of really fanny like that, like guidebooks or like crazy in-depth things?
No, I was pretty casual, not gonna lie.
I was Pikachu for 1 year for Halloween, and my brother was Ash. And I also,
did you sit on his
head? Does that tell us all we need to know about your relationship with your brother?
Yeah, we hate each other, but secretly we like each other, and we'll work together to beat Team Rocket.
Nice.
But I have a Pokemon fan fiction that I wrote, like an episode of the show when I was really little, and I think I still have it. It's like, the little tiny pocket notebooks.
Oh yeah.
It's like seven of those front and back.
Holy crap. And
yeah, it's all right. Like, it's like the length of an episode. It has Team Rocket in it and everything. But yeah, I did that.
I used to draw a lot of Pokemon because I just used to doodle a lot when I was a kid. And I remember for just 3 years, I had this binder with Pikachu on the front. And every folder in the binder was Pokemon. One was a Pikachu-themed folder, one was a Charmander-themed folder, and I just remember having that forever. Just being like, this is the best binder ever. I actually made a lot of guy friends in elementary school thanks to that. They were all like, oh my god, you like Pokemon? And I was like, well, yeah. Because not a lot of the girls in my school were super into it, or they didn't want to really, talk about it. It was mostly there were a couple of nerdy girls, but not many. It was me, my friend, and my best friend, and a couple of other people. But usually, the people you talked to about Pokemon were the boys because they were the only ones that wanted to talk about it. And then when they found out you watched Dragon Ball Z too, they were like, "Oh my god, you're so cool."
They start, like, they start bringing diamond rings to school.
If only.
Could have made a lot of money out of that.
No, one of my friends used to tell me that. Like, that was actually Pokemon is how I met my friend Josh, who obviously sometimes still works for NWR in college. And he was like, how are guys not, like, all over talking to you all the time when you tell them that, you know, you play video games and you love Pokemon and shit? Because... you know, I feel like I was ready to propose to you when you told me you had Pokemon Snap in your dorm room. It was like, thanks.
Oh my gosh, Pokemon Snap. We could do a whole show about Pokemon Snap.
We could.
That shit is on the Wii Virtual Console.
FYI. It is. It is the best, I'm going to say it, the best non-mainline Pokemon game.
It's the best game on Virtual Console on any platform.
Well, let's not go that far, but...
Well, I am going that far. I mean, it's the best game ever made, so...
Okay, no, it's not nearly as good as it would be if they straight up just remade it for the Wii U, because the Wii U is, like, the perfect platform for it. Why they didn't, I will never know.
They'd started
to,
because
they want to do something different, Becky. They want to make sure every Pokemon game is a unique flower.
I want more Pokemon Snap.
Well,
I really wanted a sequel for Gold and Silver. I wanted to catch some of those Pokemon on camera.
I know, right? Some of those are my favorite Pokemon.
Yeah, me too. Tyranitar is up near the top for me.
Typhlosion. If you can't tell, I have an affinity for fire types. I like fire types.
Magmortar.
Yes.
They said they started remaking Pokemon Snap, or, like, looking into making a sequel, and that's how they ended up with Pokemon Go.
Yeah, God, no. So, Pokemon Go is going to be dumb.
What? Have you ever played Ingress?
I don't know what that means. I don't play cell phone games. Cell phone games are destroying gaming. Don't you know
this
that?
This is not a cell phone game. This is a real world game. It's Capture the Flag, but you use your phone to keep score. And also, you use powerful XMPs to take down other portals, destroy the resonators, the shields.
I'm not going to Pokemon Go today.
Okay.
In Ingress.
Sorry.
Again, that's another one of those show length things.
I actually sent like a Pokemon design to Nintendo Australia in like 99. I was like, yeah, here's my Pokemon design. Pass it along for me, please.
What was it?
Basically. And they sent me stuff back. They actually sent me a reply and some goodies back.
Oh, wow.
Like stickers and things, yeah. So I got something out of it.
What was your Pokemon?
Oh, it's on the site. It's Kimura, I think it was called. And it was a gray little mouse-like Pikachu thing. And then it's similar in shape to, like, Wumpa. Wumpa, the blue water type Pokemon.
Oh, Wooper.
They stole your idea?
They stole it. Yeah, they must have passed it on, and they just adapted my idea slightly.
Wow.
Okay.
It's like the resemblance is uncanny, you know what I mean? that's how I got, like, those Pokemon Snap stickers,
nice.
You know, the ones that came with the game, because I never owned the game.
Oh,
but, yeah, I've got those
stickers
from that.
I remember you took Pokemon Snap, you took your cartridge to Blockbuster, plugged it into their Pokemon Snap station, and it would print out stickers based on the photos you had saved on the cartridge.
It was pretty fancy. I never had the game when they had that machine, so I never got to print out stickers of my Pokemon. I got it a little bit later than that.
I remember they had that machine in there for like a month. It was not here long. It really was not.
So for the last little section of this sort of Pokemon chat, back when Pokemon Red and Blue were out, did you guys ever imagine future Pokemon games? Like, what did you want to see? Like, what sort of ideas did you have that where the series would go? I mean, we all sort of want just that 3D RPG on like a console, which has never happened. Did you guys have any crazy ideas that, like, you wanted to see happen back when the games were still like 8-bit
games? I thought that, for me, basically, I just wanted, because the N64 was around then, I wanted Pokemon Stadium to be, like, a whole Pokemon, like, even if it's a remake of Red and Blue, just 3D, and with battles in 3D, like in Pokemon Stadium. So when Pokemon Stadium came out, I thought, this is going to be the greatest thing in the world, and it really was not. Not what I wanted it to be at all. So that's what I wanted. That's where I felt like the series would logically go.
Yeah, but I really didn't want that. I still want that to happen.
And I also wanted more. I mean, this is no surprise to me, but I wanted more. I was disappointed with the prehistoric Pokemon in Red and Blue. And I was hoping for actual dinosaur Pokemon. And still really haven't gotten that. I mean, I guess we got the Sauropod, the Tyrannosaur. But that that Ceratopsian thing is just awful. I don't even know what that's supposed to be.
Actually, they haven't even really explored extinct Pokemon since Red and Blue, have they? It's only still like Aerodactyl, Kabutops, and all
Well, there's some of them, I think. They have Crawdilly and...
Crawdilly.
You know, they have fossil Pokemon in every mainline game, but they're all kind of shitty.
Yeah,
I've never used any of them.
No, me neither.
I think Aerodactyl's not bad.
Yeah, they get transformed. They get transformed, and then they get put in a box.
You guys did not read the treatise on Pokemon strategy if you're using Aerodactyl. On, like, page 50, it says not to use Aerodactyl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not great. He's just in your party because he's cool, and he's not Pidgeotto.
Adam and Becky, did you have some, like, thoughts on...
I'm going to be 100% honest here and say that I did not even think that a sequel would ever exist. Not that I thought that the game... I didn't think necessarily that the game was bad. I was just so obsessed with the current version that I was never really thinking about where it could go. I was just like, no, okay, I got my Pokemon and I will play this over and over and over again. So,
yeah, I was the same way up until, like, X and Y. Like, every generation that got announced, I was like, oh my god, a new Pokemon generation. And then X and Y was, like, the first one that I saw coming. Like,
wow.
Up until then,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Actually, I think my perspective changed a lot sooner than that. when Gold and Silver came out, and it was suddenly like, oh, this is a thing. They could keep making these. Like, it just, like, blew my mind.
I really want to see, like two of the regions connected together again, like Gold and Silver.
Yes.
It really added a lot to the feeling of the world is all connected in a larger place. It'd just be really great if they took two regions again and connected them somehow.
I agree.
Did you play X and Y?
Yeah, why?
They're so unambitious. I was so disappointed by those games.
Yeah, really? but they were the first ones in a new engine, and it didn't even run that well.
I think
the actual, you know, Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire are the other real Pokemon games using that engine.
I don't know. There was no post game. The area was small.
That's true.
I actually kind of liked
it wasn't an extensive post game. I kind of liked just having a little bit at the end, and that was it. I kind of lacked the self-containedness of it, actually.
Yeah, because you could finish it and then you were done.
No, you were not done, because you unlocked the ace trainer that told you what IVs your Pokemon had. So the only post-game
in that game
was just breeding. Yeah, dude! In the Pokemon Center in the town after the game? Like, after you beat the game?
Oh, the little bonus with the Safari Zone.
The Friend Safari. That's where you go EV train,
Friend
man.
Safari?
You gotta get some good friends.
I spent so much time in that Friend Safari, too.
Yeah, I still do. Getting Pokemon. But, no, for me, I guess I got really caught up in the fact that it was so customizable. Like, I loved the fact that I could actually customize the way my trainer looked. And I feel like that's part of the reason everybody was like, oh, I hated X and Y. They were so awful. And I was like, I looked cute. as crap all the time, and I loved that.
I don't know why they got rid of that, no matter of being Alpha Sapphire.
Yeah, that was,
me neither.
Weird, yeah.
I was actually surprised.
It's because they had character designs for them already, and they wanted to use the original ones. But I was really upset that you had to be a skinny, small child in X and Y. Like, if you can customize yourself, like, why can't I be like a hiker? You know, that's what I look like in real life. Like, I want to...
Yeah, maybe that's the next step. Maybe, full customization.
That would be really cool. And I enjoyed it so much that I'd spent 90% of my game, like, being like, okay, I'm going to experiment with various ways of changing my hair. I'm going to buy all these clothes. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, I've bought everything, every article of clothing in the game for a girl I own.
The clothes as well.
My God, you got into
the fancy clothing store in the Paris city.
And I took a lot of
the photographs, like in poses and stuff, with that photography dude.
I had a lot of fun customizing outfits. Oh, the PR videos.
Yeah, those were pretty good.
Mine said, now accepting applications for friends. I was like, I like this line.
I have to go back to X. I have to finish the, the looker missions? I never finished those.
Oh, well, that's the only thing you have left, because there's nothing else to do after.
Right. But I think there is a payoff for doing all of those things.
I don't remember.
Anyway, we'll course correct away from X and Y slightly.
Sorry.
I'll just go over one of the things that I imagined back around the N64 era. One of the things I wanted to see happen was to make the games more like the anime. Like, so the world was bigger and more you could just sort of explore at your own off the beaten path a lot more.
Yeah.
And the battle system, this would never happen now in a main sort of, if they ever did a console Pokemon game, it wouldn't happen like this. But the way I imagined it could work on the N64 would be, once you enter a battle, you take direct control of the Pokemon, and the 4C buttons were your attacks.
Oh, that'd be cool.
But you could move around in the environment, in the 3D environment, as Pikachu. So you could, it came down to having a bit more skill. So things like missing or using agility or something would actually, be more hands-on.
The Poke Park games.
I haven't played those.
Those games are great.
They're amazing. When you fight other Pokemon and you're Pikachu, you're running all over the place and you're using your two attacks, and you can avoid the other Pokemon's attacks, and it's great.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Mm. I guess it's a similar idea, but the 64 controller, it made a lot of sense because you had the 4C buttons and you had A and B, so you could have used it as A is jump and B is block or something. I don't know.
I always wanted that, but with Smash controls. I mean, I guess we're kind of getting that. Now we have 8 Pokemon in Smash.
Pokken tournament as well, maybe.
Yeah, that's Tekken, though. That's hard.
Yeah.
But Smash Brothers is easy, you know?
Yeah.
Just hit the buttons. Let's make a
Pokemon-themed Smash game that has all 8,700 Pokemon, or however many Pokemon there are now.
721.
22.
Oh, my God, there is a new
22.
One.
22. There is a new one.
Wow.
Kim and I had to come up with that number when we did our video. 700, what?
Any other thoughts on red and blue and yellow? We obviously did talk a bit about them, but maybe, we'll just have some finishing thoughts on the original games before we move on to wrapping it up.
I would like to say that the original 150 Pokemon blow, and the next 150 for silver and gold are much more inventive and fun. Fun about Pidgeot.
I like Pidgey.
What are you talking about? Pidgey. Doing his voice. He's like, Pidgeot! And that's fun. Pidgeot!
That is
only fun.
All the original 150 Pokemon, or almost all of them, are so clearly based on real world animals. And the next 150, they had a little fun with it. Even the starters for Heart Gold and Soul Silver. even the starters for Gold and Silver are more interesting than the starters in Red and Blue. Except maybe
Charizard. I think I chose Totodile first.
Hell
Gold
yeah.
And Silver. But I didn't really like his design. I thought he was ugly.
Oh, I love Totodile.
Actually, I like, like,
he turns into a badass for alligator.
Cuter. Oh, sometimes I don't even want to evolve them. I'm just like, I want to leave them as the little versions.
That's what Ash would do.
I know, that's what I'm doing.
He never evolves any of his Pokemon.
I'm only going to evolve Charmander because, he evolved in the anime.
He turned into a Charizard that was an asshole.
Actually, he evolves into Charizard really fast. As a kid, I thought it took ages, but like it happens within like, I don't know, 10 episodes or something.
Yeah, it actually he does, and like it's, they explain it like in the game that traded Pokemon actually evolved faster, right. And they, no, it technically wasn't a trade, but since it wasn't his, it kind of falls under that category.
That episode was good though.
That episode was
Charmander,
sad,
like, jerk dude, Rudy.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever his frickin' stupid face was. Banning the Charmander, you jerk.
I do want to say a few words.
Okay.
When I set out on this Pokemon journey, my goal was to catch them all. I had my main journey on Pokemon Blue. I had an abandoned journey on Pokemon Red. And I stole back my sister's journey on Pokemon Yellow. It was my copy, but she had played it at some point 10 years ago. So I was going to steal her Pokemon. So I set up Pokemon Stadium, and I plugged in a game, and it said, oh, you have to save in a Pokemon Center. And I was like, oh, yeah. So I went to save in the Pokemon Center in Pokemon Red, and I looked at what I had done. I had a Mew. I had an Eevee. I had the fossil that I didn't have. I had most of the version exclusives. Like, I was set up pretty well. I was going to trade these Pokemon over to Blue, and I was going to get all the Pokemon. So I go into saving the Pokemon Center, and then I do the same thing with my sister's Yellow. She had 9 Pokemon.
Did you call her up first and say,
oh, we're roommates. She was like, what are you doing with the Nintendo 64? And I was like, I need your Pokemon! She didn't care. So I moved stuff over from Yellow, stole her handful of Pokemon, and then I plugged in Red, the very Red that my dad bought me in the middle of the night. And it said there was an issue with the game cartridge. So I plugged it back into my GameCube.
Such an epic story.
Game Boy. The save was gone. The save was gone. The battery died. It lasted all that time, and then just now it died.
Oh. Mine actually all still function.
Mine still function.
All 3 of them, because I actually have Blue, Red, and Yellow.
I pulled them all out. My Gen 2 games are all dead. Now my Red is dead. My Yellow and my Blue are still working, but the Red one was mine, you know, my original Pokemon journey, and now it's gone. But for my sister's game, I did get the 3 starters, and then in my game I had... Oh, wait, what did I have? Okay, so my team was Pikachu, Nidoking, which I named Kingslayer, and then I had a Nidoqueen named Queen Mother, and then, but that wasn't on my team. I had a Bulbasaur, well, a Venusaur named Bulba, Charmander, or a Charizard, Blastoise, and a Mew named Slave.
Ouch.
Slave, the HM Slave.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was my HM Slave.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but
that would be Bidoof today.
And I actually beat the Elite Four with all my Pokemon under level 50, and some of them were even under level 40. Like, I know, I was so surprised.
That's pretty surprising.
Like, Zach, you were talking about, like, how hard it was, and I was like, really? Like, I accidentally beat the game today. Like, I just...
Did you actually just, like, have, like, heaps and heaps of revives and hyper potions, though?
Well, I mean, the max potions and the max revives, but I didn't use them. Like, I thought I would need them, but I didn't need them.
That's weird.
Like, I was really surprised. Oh, and I'm really...
You just must be that good at strategy for Pokemon. You must be a Pokemon master.
I am a Pokemon master, but it's really easy. The types, like, you're like, oh, it's a Dragonite. I should use Ice Beam.
Yep.
Or Blizzard, I guess is what I use.
Right.
The
type advantage might improve over attack time. Like, the better attacks, probably.
Oh, yeah, at the beginning, you know, the attacks will suck.
Because all you got are attack and defense. You don't have special attack or special defense in the first games. So I'm sure Ice Beam or Blizzard does a lot more damage than,
tackle.
I don't know. Tackle. Exactly.
Yeah, if you had read the treaties, you would know that Blizzard has an attack of, like, 85, I think, and tackle is, like, 40.
Yes.
So there's a big difference in, attack. It's actually...
Like, I was so reading a treaty about a new Hadrosaur from Alabama. I'm sorry. It's not a Hadrosaur anymore.
Damn, anymore. Blizzard's attack power is 120. I'm sorry, I was incorrect.
Well, that's why it has such low accuracy, is because it's a very hard attack.
Yeah.
The same with Fire Blast and Thunderbolt, or in Thunder.
Is 229
at it. I mean, a Blizzard... When I often, when I go outside and there's a blizzard, it just misses me completely. It just kind of blizzards around me. And then it's gone.
Same with when the thunder, you know. How does thunder hit anyone? Wouldn't lightning hit people?
I know, I don't know why those are called thunder. They're all lightning attacks.
Gosh,
I'm sure that's a translation
thing. I misspoke on tackle as well. Tackle's power is only 35. I'm not a Pokemon master. I lied to you guys.
You're terrible. You know,
I only read most of this paper. I didn't even read the whole thing. No, but I'm trying to find this guy.
You have to memorize it, Adam.
Sadistic Mystic, if you are out there, please contact me. Please.
No, I'm more like Ash and just wing it and hope for the best.
Yeah, see, I use Pokemon that I think look cool, and then just, like, I know type advantages, and that's about all I care about. I'm just done.
I do wish that, like, the Game Freak would take a look at ways to make a lot more Pokemon viable.
Yeah.
I mean, I like using Butterfree, but Butterfree dies with, like, one hit from pretty much any other Pokemon. It'll just get destroyed.
So, yeah.
So does Mothra. I think that's a thing in Japan and butterflies.
It's still extremely useful, you know? If you watched my video, God.
Have you ever fought a butterfly? Like, they don't take too many hits.
Yeah, but Butterfree's, like, awesome.
Aww.
He's, like, huge and stuff.
Butterfree is cool.
I like the new version of Butterfree. What's the new version of Butterfree?
There's been heaps of them.
Six different colors.
There's Beautifly.
The Beautifly is, like, 15
Vivillon?
Years old, you guys. Yeah,
Vivillon.
Oh, no, it's a GBA
version.
Yeah,
the Vivillon, the one that they came out with a Pokeball colored the Vivillon. One they sent to everybody. Yeah, I like Vivillon.
Yeah, I think I used the...
No, use Vivillon.
Yeah, I think I use that. Is that the X and Y? X and
yeah,
y
that
yeah.
is.
Yeah, yeah, I think I use that as
I
well.
I just use Butterfree for everything. Like, this is my go-to bug Pokemon. It's Butterfree.
So are
Butterfree team.
Have you guys been doing anything else, like, old-school Pokemon related?
I did start watching the anime again and got up to the Samurai episode.
I play Pokemon Snap
I've been looking
annually.
Through my... Nice. I've been digging through my Pokemon cards and looking at them longingly.
Yeah, I do play Pokemon Snap at least once a year.
I actually just bought Pokemon Snap on the 64 from someone in Australia.
Wait, have you ever played it before, Nick?
Copy. Sorry? Yeah, I hadn't. Not, like, seriously.
Okay.
I had played other people's copies a little bit.
N64 is the way to do it, too.
Yeah, it really is.
Mm.
It's experience.
But yeah, I got, like, really into old Pokemon stuff. I've been listening to To Be a Master. I mean, that's always...
Oh my god, I love that soundtrack.
I still have that on my iPhone.
I do put that on too.
Sometimes.
It's in, like, the top, like, 10 go-to albums in my life, but it's come to the forefront right now.
I wish that CD had all of the Brock songs on it from the show. Like, you know how they used to finish the show with, like, a music video later on?
Oh, dude, there was another one.
Pikachu's Jukebox?
Yeah, Pikachu's Jukebox, and, like, had...
They actually, like, they do have those songs.
Wait, you're talking about Two Perfect Girls? Jenny!
Yeah, I'm talking about
Jenny.
Brock.
Oh,
Joy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, Joy.
That's awesome.
Dude, that's on another album. There's, Totally Pokemon, I think, is the second one. And then there's Pokemon X, which is the third one. But that was kind of, I'll send you some. But did you guys ever read...
I just remember...
The Pokemon comics, the Pokemon Adventures.
Oh yeah, I've
manga.
Yeah, I've got six volumes of that. Yeah,
dude, for Christmas,
it's good.
Last year, my sister got me three boxes. box sets of Pokemon Adventure, and I've been reading those.
Oh my God.
I've actually been, I just, like, the last few years, I've just been, like, going, oh, I'm going to just try and collect, like, Pokemon stuff from the first, you know, two generations, basically. So I've bought the DVDs and that up until, like, the end of Johto. And I bought, yeah, 6 volumes of the manga, which I need to finish off the gold and silver ones, and then I'll stop.
Well, there's a box for the gold and silver ones.
Yeah, so but I've already got 6 volumes, so I'm not going to buy...
Oh, of gold and silver?
I think I started the gold and silver ones. I can't remember.
Oh. Well, there's a box for the Kanto ones also.
Mm.
But
the manga's actually really good. A few years ago, ages and ages ago, it's probably like episode 30-something of Connectivity, I had a segment on there talking about the manga, the Pokemon Adventures manga, and it's actually pretty entertaining. It's like slightly more mature than the anime. It's actually more like pretty fun to read through. Like people die. People die in it.
Pokemon die.
Really? And
stuff. Yeah.
Oh, and all the gym leaders, like half of them are evil. Like they're with Team Rocket. Yep.
Yeah.
It's really good.
They're corrupt.
I just remember.
Did you guys ever read Electric Tale of Pikachu?
The what?
Electric Tale of Pikachu?
No.
The other Pokemon manga? That one's like 4 volumes. But man, that one's really good. That one, it's kind of based on the anime, which Pokemon Adventure, the other one we're talking about, is based on the games. It is not based on the anime. But in Electric Tale of Pikachu, it's a lot shorter and a lot more like funny. Like there are a lot of jokes in it. And then every once in a while, there will just like, it'll hit you right in the heart. And I don't know, those are really good. I read those when I was a kid. I had the first 3 as a kid. And I didn't get the 4th one until like, I was in high school. Like I found it on sale at like a Borders. And I was like, oh my God, I need this. And I was with like other adults and they were like, why do you need that? And I was like, closure, damn it, closure. So I have them all. Oh, and then when I moved, somehow, they got put in 4 separate boxes. So that was one of the main reasons that I unpacked right when I moved into this place, was so that I could get all my Pokemon
books. I remember when back the first movie came out, they gave out a trading card, or a Pokemon card, with every ticket you bought. I only bought ticket. I only saw it in theaters once, but I got the Mew card, which you cannot actually use in competitive actual Pokemon card play.
Wait, the Ancient Mew?
Ancient Mew, right. It took several years, but I eventually found all of the Pokemon movie cards, singles in, you know, comic shops. And now I have them all, and they're all awful cards. You'd never use them in actual play.
They just look cool, though. The art on them is usually
really good. Yeah, the art is good. It's the Dragonite looks awful.
I love the Dragonite.
The Dragonite was just like a Dragonite. Cartoon Dragonite with a friggin' pouch. He's carrying a pouch.
Yeah, a beautiful bag.
Doesn't even have anything to do with the movie.
A beautiful man bag. In the movie, he has a bag.
Wait, in the movie, he has a bag.
He's a messenger, yeah.
Yeah,
he's a messenger in the movie,
He delivers all the invitations to the island.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's not Dragonite a curse, it's European.
He's my spirit Pokemon.
I remember one of the cards was an Electabuzz, and I thought, why is this? Why there's not even Electabuzz in the movie?
No.
Was there? Yeah. No. Yeah. Oh, well. Electabuzz was a good card. At least the original
speaking
one.
Yeah, it's true.
Quickly speaking about the movie as well, the anime movie, the opening battle in that was insanely impressive at the time, because like, they hadn't drawn a battle that detailed, like an actual Pokemon battle, to that degree before. Just seeing
that
them
was so cool.
Actually fighting and moving around.
I need to rewatch that movie. I'm thinking about buying that compilation disc.
You can now buy them on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I probably don't need any of those on Blu-ray, but...
You gotta catch
them
all.
They just re-released them. They can get all the first 3.
I know. That's the one I'm talking about. Yeah. If I got any of them on Blu-ray, it would be that 3-pack. Yeah. I remember first... I saw the first 3 in theaters.
Yeah, I saw the first 2. I didn't get to see the 3rd one in theaters. after a while, like I think the first three had that sort of event status still, and then after that, they were all like direct to DVD or direct to video, and they sort of lost any sort of.
I remember the first movie being kind of friggin' dark.
Yeah. He sort of dies. In
yeah, he does. Oh, he turns to rock or something.
Turns to stone.
Turns to stone.
Yeah. There you go.
All right, so I think we should probably wrap this up.
Yeah, it's a pretty long podcast.
It's a short episode.
We've spoken about the games and a bit about the other surrounding media and just random stuff, so... Thanks, everyone, for joining me on this episode.
Yeah, I look forward to downloading Yellow and trying that one, because it's got to be better than Blue or Red.
Yellow is obviously slightly more polished in the graphics department, but it's not overly different. It is cool seeing Jesse and James and having Pikachu behind you and stuff.
Mm. Getting all the starters isn't a pain in the butt anymore.
One reason I started Yellow, actually, was to finally go ahead and unlock the Surfing Pikachu mini game, because I've been wanting to play that ever since Yellow came out, and I've never done it. I've never been able to get it. So, I'm going to do that soon.
Nice.
Don't you have to, do something really intense in Stadium?
You're going to do stuff in Stadium, but I'm just going to have, level 100 Pokemon anyway, so...
Oh.
And then I'll steamroll whatever the challenge is.
Well, they adjust your levels, so good luck.
Oh, what? Damn it.
Yeah. Ha 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 ha. It's in the treaties. Pokemon Stadium is covered in the treaties.
That's right. I'm sure I'll win. I'm using Ash's team. What could go wrong?
Oh god, you'll get eighth.
I'll probably lose on the last round or something, and the comparison will be complete. So,
do you have weird shit on your cheeks?
What? Oh, those little zigzags.
Squiggles.
Why does Ash have those? Yeah. No other anime character has those.
Makes him distinctive.
Not even anyone else in the show has those.
No.
Well, Brock has, straight lines.
Yeah, that's true.
He doesn't see that very often either.
He can't actually see.
Oh, God,
see.
He opened his eyes once.
Oh, that's right. He opened his eyes. He forced them open once, didn't he? How scary.
Man, I've been watching this show on YouTube called Pokemon Abridged. And it's just so great. It's just really bad, but they take clips from the show and dub over them. And other abridged shows try and follow the story, but this one does not. They've made their own characters, and I ended up rewatching the whole series a week or so ago. And what they did with Brock is really, really, really wrong. But it's fun.
Okay, all right. If anyone has any emails they want to send to us, they can do so at connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com, or send us a message on Twitter, which is @connectivitynwr. We didn't get any emails or anything about Pokemon in the last 2 weeks, so the joke's on you. You missed out on a Mew code for X and Y, and Alpha Ruby. What's Alpha Root? Is it?
Alpha Sapphire, Omega Ruby.
Yeah, okay. Those games. So now Adam has 3 Mews to all to himself.
Oh, I have 7 Mews all to myself.
Oh, okay. 7 all to himself.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, if anyone has any, memories of Pokemon that they want to send through, we are open to doing that on the next episode or whenever anyone feels like it. So, so if we get an email, we'll do it on the next show. If not, we'll keep asking for them. So thanks for listening, everyone, and until next time.
Bye.
Bye.